Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Warren.
Here's the latest game. ABC News, I'm Richard Davies. She was convicted of murder, then acquitted and released from prison. Now Amanda Knox and her former boyfriend have been convicted again by a court in Italy. The case involves the murder of her roommate 7 years ago. Knox tells ABC News she plans to appeal.
When you have overzealous prosecutors, and when you have a biased biased investigation and coercive interrogations, like, these things happen. And I'm not crazy.
But British family of the murder victim says not maybe guilty. English murder victim is reacting to the latest twist in the case. Stephanie Kircher is the sister of Meredith Kircher.
We might never know the truth. We can only go by what is out there in the documents. There's obviously a lot of evidence to suggest that that is the truth and that the truth has been found.
Knox's former boyfriend found guilty murder and is detained at the point by police. President Obama wants more American companies to consider hiring people who've been out of work for months, even years.
Using his White House clout, the president says 300 U.S. companies have agreed to give a second look at job applications from people who have been out of work 6 months or more. Advisor Donald H.
Weather today and much southeast could help recovery efforts. More volatility for the stock market today. Futures dropped sharply. This is ABC News.
Whenever I need to get work done remote,
tell me where do the children roam?
You see, the nation is straight away, but now it's
early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And I'm hoping you're having a good day today. It is Super Bowl weekend, and I didn't have a Super Bowl song because, you know, I'd have one if the Steelers were actually going to the Super Bowl this year. But since they're not, we don't have one, and so I had to go back and find a Monday Night Football. And I happen to like Hank Williams. I like how he does Are You Ready for Some Football, and so I'm sorry. I'm not even planning on watching the Super Bowl this weekend. I want to see the commercial. I have fallen in love with the Budweiser commercial this year, and I've got to see how it ends. I think I know how it ends, but I got to see how it ends. It looks like it is just an adorable, just a heart-wrenching, just a sweet commercial with a dog and a horse. And if you haven't seen it, you need to, you know, go on YouTube and see the teaser. They've done some wonderful jobs with some of the commercials this year. So I don't know about you, but when I do watch the Super Bowl in past years, more times than not, it's been all about the commercials. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229, and today is Friday, and you know today is Friday, and so today is open mic. And I'm going to start trying to do some things a little bit differently so that people are not talking on top of each other. A young man called in yesterday, and he said, you know, he wanted to hear what we had to say. And a lot of times when you have so many voices, you don't always get to hear everyone. So I'm going to try to bring people in and out, and if they'll play well, we'll play well, but if they don't play well, then we won't play well at all. So I want to hear from you. I have, I want people, I might as well start in on this, and I think Jeff is on his way in, but I am, let me start here. Americans are going to have to be proactive. Being reactive is not being productive. And let me explain exactly what I'm saying. If you listen to the show at any time, you know that I'm very, very politically active, and I, outside of my faith, it is something that I really hone in on, because I believe that if you take your faith and you open your eyes to the political structure, because everything that you touch, everything that you have, everywhere you go, everything that goes on with you, you will see that there is a political piece of legislation that goes to it. The car that you drive, the house that you own, so you say, the taxes you pay, the school where your children go, the clothes that you wear, the hairdresser that you go to, the barber who cuts your hair, the auctioneer, everything that you have has a piece of legislation tied to it. And what I'm finding is people are not understanding that, and they are they think that they don't have any power, and so they step aside and they do nothing. and then they wonder what's wrong with government. They have, and they don't realize that they have given their power over to an entity of people who are not necessarily representing them. And so I need for people to begin to become proactive in what they do. And proactive is simple. You don't just vote because there's a name on the ballot. If you're going to be a part of a political party, then you become active in the party that you say that you're a part of. And becoming active right now, precinct committee people on both the Republican and Democrat side, everybody's looking for them. They need people to fill places all over the state of Ohio, all over your counties. And the last day to file is this upcoming, I believe, the 5th of February. You need to understand that. You need to be, you don't even know what that person does. You have a central committee person who actually represents you down in Columbus. You don't even know who that person's name is, yet you vote for them. And what I'm trying to really enforce upon you and impress upon you is that you really need to understand that we want – why are you pointing at me, Jeff? He comes in here making noise so I can mess up my thoughts. We don't realize that we need to become proactive. I was listening to some people talk on last night, and if I didn't know better, you would think that they had regurgitated with something that I've been saying for the last 7 years at least. But I know the last 5, 7, 6. And I look at the how we voted for, you know, if you don't stand for same-sex marriage, if you don't stand for abortion, if you don't like it, if you want to have freedom of choice in education, if you want to have economic independence, why would you vote for a person who wants to give you programs, is for same-sex marriage, and thinks that abortion is a choice? I just don't understand. And if you're a part of the party and you have major influence, why would you let them do that to you? And so now we don't like what we see on TV. We don't like the world that we live in. We don't like where we're going. And because we don't like where we're going, we don't like what we're seeing, we're sitting up now and we're having a problem with it when you should have never allowed it to be a problem in the first place. I have a friend, and she said, Tracy, why is it that, you know, we looked at stand your ground laws? Didn't they know the law was going on the book? I said, yeah. Well, why didn't they do something about it then? I don't know. And I want people to, I just need people to wake up. I need to shake you awake so that you understand that you need to be involved in everything that you say that you're involved in. And your country is something that you need to be involved in. You need to be a part of. The political process, you need to know. You need to understand. You need to turn the TV off. You need to, and football, I mean, I talked about the football game coming on Sunday. But you need to turn it off. What good will it do if everything that you know you're enslaved to? And so I need for people to really understand that, because what is happening is with our reactionary measures, and we are reactive, you don't understand how reactive we are. People push buttons and we mobilize and we move. That's not how this is supposed to work. I'm supposed to speak and you're supposed to move, not the other way around. If you want to know what's wrong with the economic system, what's wrong with the jobs in America, look at the education of America. Look at the innovation of America. The president is getting ready to go around and ask people to hire people who've been out of job for years and then make money and then pay them more. I'm going to bring Jeff into this conversation now that he's sitting down. I think he's situated. And the number is 347-945-5229. Last night, Jeff and I took a road trip, and we stopped at a fast food restaurant because I was hungry, and I'm not a happy girl when I'm hungry. So we stopped at a little fast food restaurant, and I ordered my usual, which is, I mean, I'm consistent. Wherever I go, I got a consistent order. And Jeff ordered his little order. And, you know, we were in a hurry trying to get somewhere, trying not to be late, trying to get on time. And as we go flying down the road, Jeff opens up the sandwich, because, you know, we didn't have time to look in the bag and open it up and smell it and taste it and see if it's all right. Jeff said, "This ain't the sandwich. My sandwich has cheese on it." And I said,
"Not today."
And then Jeff turned to me and said, "These are the people that want them to. They want us to pay them
$12 an hour."
Right. Mm-hmm. It's $15 an hour, ain't it?
Well, it's somewhere. Yeah, that's what they were striking for. I would have fired every last one of them.
So I don't understand. They can't fire them, Jeff. We need them.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yes.
No, I'll get some more. Mm-mm. That won't strike.
No. Not no. I'm Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with fast food, that where it is.
Look at what these idiots did.
What?
California spends $1.37 million.
That is not what I'm talking about. Why are you changing the subject?
I'm just saying. It all adds in together.
It doesn't add in together.
They're crazy.
They ain't crazy.
They are.
No, they ain't.
Then what are they? Here it is. You got folks that don't believe in.
It's not their money.
Yeah, but you got folks that don't believe in homosexuality. You got folks that don't believe in, what else? What else could you say? Abortion, like you were saying in your opening diatribe. What the heck? How are you complaining and not telling people who it is that you shouldn't be with?
Jeff,
that's doing this. How do you do that?
Jeff, it's not their money.
Who does this?
Everybody. Hey, Alabama, how you doing?
What's going on?
How's your weather down there? Here it's going to get 60 degrees. Everything's going to melt.
It's 50-something degrees down here. Now, it's warm today. It's going to be about 50-something. It's pretty warm now.
So don't you want to move
What's up
north and hang out with us?
Oh, no, never that. Never. I don't want to live up there with y'all.
Why not?
Yeah, I come visit, man. I can't do it, man. I just can't. And then I'm used to northerners coming down the south thinking we all stupid and slow. So, I mean, that already makes me not want to live up there. I'm like, oh, man, he's so arrogant. As soon as they hear me talk, they're going to say, oh, Lord, he dumb. He from Alabama. He's stupid. And they always guess Alabama because, you know, it's just Alabama.
Well, you know,
if you
want to
say country, then where you from? Alabama? Yeah. Like, so? I'm from Alabama. What? So,
you know,
it is what it is.
You know why that is?
Why is that, sir?
I don't think this.
Well, it doesn't.
Why are you worrying about being
intellectually
slow? I know I'm not, but I'm just saying. I mean,
no.
People.
Usually, your criminals.
Tell me why.
Usually, a lot of your criminals come up here, and do stupid stuff, thinking that they're going to come up here and be like the guys in the north, and come up here and sell drugs and do all of this stuff. Because I've seen them come up here, you know, and they get out here on the street, and they're the first ones to get arrested.
You know what?
They don't know the land.
You guys come down here, and they do the same thing. I find it ironic that you would say that because I think people are based from individual person to person basis. I don't really so assume that a whole demographic. I mean, unless you're the black, then I'm gonna say okay, you're a Democrat 9 times out of 10. 90.5 times out of 10, I'm right. But I'm just saying, like, for the most part, I just feel like it. You know, people from down south, I mean, from up north,
Alabama,
come down here with this, you know, arrogant. My auntie from Montgomery went up there in the early 60s, came back down here every time they used to come visit. You know, you people in Alabama, man, you people are slow. You people still have a slave mentality. You people this, you people.
Well,
I'm sitting saying to myself, I go up there, y'all still just as messed up as we are. Y'all still got the same issues
Alabama,
we got.
Alabama, sweetheart. At one time, they thought if you talked with a southern accent that you were slow, or you were not as bright as they are. But I think that has changed now.
Y'all done got used to me, right? Y'all know I ain't got no. I mean, do y'all hear my southern slang now? Y'all just let it go. Y'all say, okay, that's just
no, baby, no,
y'all,
baby.
Y'all
you
hear
you,
it. Listen, once you get around somebody
Alabama,
for a while,
hold on now, sweetie, listen. But listen, let me now. I'm trying to vouch for you because I think you're very, very bright.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this to you. Don't put no more hot water on no ice windows.
Well, that ain't got nothing to do with smart or not smart.
I'm telling you.
Hold on. I'm going to say this right here. See, because you laugh.
I did.
I've been down here. We have windows that frost over all the time, right? Like this one, I had frost on my window. Got me a hot glass of water, went out there and threw it on the glass. Not one time have I ever bust a windshield. Now, am I going, if it's a negative, whatever like it is up there, we do that in the South. Up there, you probably can't do that. When we get snow or some ice or frost on the windshield, it's going to be 35, 40 degrees. In a few minutes, in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Alabama, this is what I'm trying to tell you. Just because you've always done it, don't mean you should always continue to do it. And what I'm telling you is, you might be able to throw a glass of hot water on some frost, but if you keep on getting cold winters and cold days like you had last week, don't do that. I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
If you love the food and the homemade traditions of the Amish community, then the Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman is something you need to know about. From fresh baked breads and pies, fresh fruit and produce, to Amish-made furniture and gifts. The Valley Marketplace on South Avenue in Boardman, right next to the Georgetown. Visit us online at thevalleymarketplace.com. Open Thursday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 9 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to 4. Shop early on Saturday till 10 p.m. and take 5% off select foods and items.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. Fitch High School in Austin Township is dealing with flooding issues after the slight warm-up in temperatures melted ice on a radiator. The water actually caused some ceiling tiles to cave in the hallways, plus other flooding issues happened inside of a classroom. The superintendent says it is the seventh time he's seen leaks cause ceiling damage. The school might not have to deal with repairs much longer, though. The other day, the Board of Education passed a resolution to have a bond issue on the May ballot for a brand new school. And ice skating is making a comeback at the Mill Creek Metro Parks in Youngstown. And it's the first time in 25 years skating will happen at Lily Pond. This weekend, the park is hosting ice skating on the pond. Anyone interested has to bring their own skates. The rink will be open tomorrow and Sunday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. If the conditions allow it, the rink will also be open the following weekend, even up until February 23rd. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
Ivy Woods Manor offers rehabilitation for people with congestive heart failure. They use state-of-the-art equipment to provide muscle-building exercise without putting stress on your heart. This will help you recover faster and get you back home as soon as possible. They will assist you with home care services and continue to follow your progress to help you remain in your home safely. To learn more about Ivy Woods Manor, visit us at ivywoodsmanor.com or call 330-549-3939.
Attention all healthcare professionals. Is your practice accepting new patients? Are you looking to grow your business? If so, listen to this opportunity. Our radio station, which is part of Cumulus Media, is publishing and distributing 20,000 free local medical guides this spring. It includes a physician's listing, as well as marketing opportunities for your practice. This is a great opportunity for you to attract new patients. Make sure your practice is included in the medical guide. For all the details, call me, Brad Marshall, at 330-779-8127.
How to get an amazing deal on a great used car. Start with the most durable, longest-lasting brand in its class. Have it thoroughly inspected by a trained technician and reconditioned to meet Honda-certified standards. And you've got yourself a certified pre-owned Honda. Find the one that's right for you at HondaCertified.com. Durability based on longevity. Longevity based on Polk U.S. Vehicles and Operation Registration Statistics 1988 through 2012 for Honda and competing brands.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Why, all my rowdy friends drop in on Monday night time. Let it fly.
This is our finest hour.
Well, sir, this usually takes about 3 hours.
Now they're ready for action. The calls, the land, the boys in the trenches, the fans in the stands. Sounds like thunder when they snap the ball. The bat blast through a hole in the wall. Receivers are rocket on down the line. The defense covers it. Pressure time. The guys with cannons, the way they throw. ABC's got the most explosive show. Oh, you're ready for the football. A Monday night party.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hey, it's Super Bowl weekend. Yes.
Yeah.
The Browns haven't made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Browns are the Denver Broncos.
No.
The Denver Broncos, that's who they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, we're going to win.
Tracy, I got something against you, Tracy. I'm mad at you.
What? Well, no. Go for the Seahawks.
I'm not going for the Seahawks.
Why not?
Because I'm a Denver fan. I've been telling people all year, boy, Denver playing. They're going to the Super Bowl. So how I look like now, I'm going to go for the Seahawks now, even though they do have a black quarterback.
Going for the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's because you got a black quarterback, and you just like them voters. He's choosing your football
based on
a cute coach, a cute quarterback that you think you could get with. Mm-hmm.
Well,
I got to tell you this one off the air. Never mind. I started to say something crazy.
Don't say it crazy. Don't. No. Because people get the wrong impression.
No, I was just going to say something about people in the room. But
the people that you meet when you're walking
down the street. It's the people that you meet each day.
They tell me that there's going to be Black Hawk helicopters, armed agents, and they're preparing for the Super Bowl. It's going to be like war games.
Mm, yeah. How you going to go to blow somebody up with a Black Hawk just willing to blow themselves up? What good is that going to do you?
I don't know. All I know is they put it outside. Is it going to be warm there?
No, it's going to be cold as it's all get out up there.
Why would they do that?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that? Wait a minute.
This was a dumb move.
They're having a Super Bowl in Washington, Seattle, Washington, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-mm.
Where is it?
New York.
Oh, it's in New York, New York.
Giant Stadium.
But that's outside.
New Jersey.
Totally outside.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be real cold. Now, it's going to be warmer than it has been. It's probably going to be just that freezing, But that's cool to be sitting there.
For 3 hours?
Yeah, watching the game. Oh, heck no.
For $750 a seat. I like them.
AT double hockey sticks, no. Come on.
That's pretty good. Alabama, you coming up?
Yeah, I had something I wanted to say right quick. You really kind of bothered me. I got to get this off my chest. You listening?
Uh-huh.
Number one, the windshield come in. I got to address that one because I ain't going to let you ride with that one. I say watch her bring it back up. No fewer than a couple of days later, you bringing it back up by the windshield.
Alabama, you're not going to leave that one down. I'm like your cousin.
I broke the windshield that way.
It ain't like on Atlanta Housewives when the girls thought the Underground Railroad was a real Underground Railroad. So I'm not like that. Number one, I've been throwing water on windshields since I was a little boy. We do that down here. And it come off and we go about our business. I ain't never seen nobody windshield bust open from throwing water on there. Now, y'all might do that because, see, y'all got cars that have been covered in snow and the temperature drops down below a certain degree. And I can understand, but down here in the South, we do that. We've been doing that for years. So I'm sorry. I used to take the hose pipe, cut the hose pipe on and run it on the windshield and cut the windshield wipers on it and run the defrost off and snow or whatever. And a few times it did snow. We do that all the time.
Well, you know what, Alabama? You're right about one thing. It's about how low the temperature gets. And so, you know, with the temperature getting a certain way, it gets a lot colder than it does down there, and that could contribute because I did break a windshield just that same way, put a crack straight across it. But the thing is you've just been fortunate because the cold weather you guys had the other day was absolutely cold enough
to crack a windshield.
So that's why we were warning you.
But let me ask you another thing. When y'all said that, I said, well, hey, I left. I went to the bank. It was snowing. It wasn't no snow on the windshield now. I go up in my office about like an hour and a half, come back out. That's when I was throwing it. I wasn't throwing it on there. The car was basically still warm. But the snow had just fell on there. But I couldn't see, so I said, well, let me get the snow off the window. I know. You know what I'm saying? I was sitting like, y'all think I'm just going
to
just...
happens to using one of those brushes.
They don't have them down there. Hold on, Alabama, listen. If you text me or email me your address, I'll send you one.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, do you know who Jose Williams is?
Yes.
Okay. His granddaughter was the one who made the comment about the Underground Railroad being an actual railroad station.
Oh, God.
Top it all off, she is married to Cordell Stewart, who used to be a quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That is saying something in itself. you know where I'm going, right?
No, don't even try it.
No, let me tell you. Oh, no. I'm going to tell you this one because I know. I ain't telling you this one because somebody told me.
Here it comes.
Yeah, I put in a theater room about a block from Cordell Stewart's house, and he was invited to the housewarming party that, you know, after we got this house done, blah, 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 because they built it from scratch, and I was a sound contractor on it, sound and video contractor. Cordell Stewart is out there, and he—if he's anything—he's bi. He's not.
Well, he said
he's not straight. I'm trying to tell you.
Why do I know that name?
Well, she said
he was a.
She said it.
Well, I can't say his name. Squealer.
The only thing is that, and yeah, I'm making an assumption, but any gay people listening, just take it with a grain of salt. Typically, down low men, because he's still on the down low, he's not out there with it, he's still on the down low. down low men typically do not go for that type of female because she's beautiful. She is very, very beautiful.
Oh, yes, they
beautiful,
do.
Nice figure. Normally, that she now she is an airhead, so that could probably be a factor. But normally, they try to cover and try to go with the woman who suffer from low self-esteem, got other issues, so they can do what they do, and she don't question because she's looking like, you know, I got this great man, he's handsome, he's wealthy, he's famous, and I'm not going to mess that up by questioning his sexuality. But she did come out and say she think her husband may be a tambourine player.
Look at me in the face. That one I'm talking about.
A tambourine player?
No, because every time I think about that, I think of Madea, and every time she talks about somebody who is homosexual, she always makes that tambourine playing symbol with her hand. But yeah, she was up there wondering. They had went to Savannah, and they visited this church, and at the church, they were talking about how it had the Underground Railroad was located underneath the church. And she kept saying, well, where does the train come out? Where does the train come out? Well, where do they get on the train? Or what is the, and everybody has explained to her, Jose Williams' granddaughter, you know, a great,
civil
iconic
rights
civil rights speaker.
Right.
Huh?
That's it.
And,
rights
yeah, you know,
Supreme.
Yeah, and also he was a civil rights activist. So they just were shocked that here she is asking a question. I was floored. Now she's about 23, 25 maybe 26. And
real?
That was funny.
South Carolina,
so then
your
you wonder why we talk about the South
real?
Like we do, but that was funny.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, Alabama. Sweetie, listen, I get complaints because we talk right on top of each other, and I got to give everybody a say in this. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Hey, Tracy, good morning.
Well, I tell you
no,
now,
wrong, that's
you
Mike.
Don't know.
Hold on, South. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, South. I'm confused. South. That's South.
If you
well,
don't know. I'll yield
if
to
if
the man
know,
who has served
okay.
this country.
Mike, hold on.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
If you don't know and you didn't put it together, sometimes if you're younger and you don't quite pay attention, you can make that mistake. Because when I was, in the first grade and they were talking about Harriet Tubman and Underground Railroad, I used to think the same thing. But, you know, when you get a little older, you understand that, hey, that's not what they're talking about.
Well, you know, first
old,
grade
kinda
compared to a 26-year-old woman.
But do you understand, this is what happens when you don't teach stuff in school.
But her grandfather, she sat up under her grandfather, Jose Williams, so come on now. She just dumbed in a box of rocks. She's just airhead.
Well, you don't know that he taught her.
Yeah, because it's because she was paying, you know, she was his granddaughter. She don't, you don't know her relationship with him.
You know, a lot of people think that it's better to have, you know, escape that than to actually deal with it. You know, they
you know what, though? Jeff, just to try to jump back in there, I feel like with the
Alabama.
South, if you're
didn't
looking
I tell
to agree
Alabama,
with black people,
sweetie, Alabama, work with me. I still got,
I was getting it out. You wouldn't have stopped me. I would have had it done. I would have been finished.
Didn't I tell you I had five other people in here to get out?
You didn't
hold
say
on.
Five. You just said
go ahead,
thousand,
Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, I don't want to, you know, if Alabama feels he needs to say something, just let him say it, Tracy. I'll just hold
Mike,
on.
Will you get it? Mike,
yeah,
Mike.
No, go ahead, Mike.
I don't need your help.
He always feels like he got
to say. I think Diva made a very dangerous assumption or stereotype about, you know, the women with low self-esteem, not the prettiest, you know, hooking up with a guy, and they're not going to question his sexuality and stuff. I'm thinking back to a guy we knew in grammar school and in high school, and we all suspected he was gay, and we'd see him riding around town in a convertible, sometimes as many as five, six of some of the hottest-looking women going. And I just don't think you can generalize. I mean, you got football players that are coming out and stuff, and these are macho men. You got people in the military coming out and stuff. So, Diva, I just think you can't make generalizations about
anybody. Did I not make a disclaimer before I made that statement?
Yeah, I know, but you should.
Yes,
well, you know, that's like me using an N-word, but to apologize. Say, look, I'm going to use the N-word here in 3 seconds, so everybody out, sorry
no,
if I say
I mean,
it. You know?
No, not really. She,
no,
what
that's
she,
not
what
true.
She said was very fair.
But doing what she said is, and in some cases, and in more cases than not, is very true.
But, you know,
Mike, listen to what I'm saying.
I heard what you said.
When you come out of a conservative group, a conservative area,
yeah.
And you have a lot of men who are trying to hide their homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
They don't go for the pretty girls.
Mm-hmm.
They go for someone who will just they want someone.
The outcast
yes.
girls.
They go to, they find one that just need one, and then they just be with one, but they still have their alternate lifestyle. And usually they're not the prettiest, brightest, outgoing women. Like,
well, see, when I was growing up, we always thought that the if you saw a guy.
I'm trying to tell my sources.
If you saw a girl who was super, super pretty with a guy who just didn't rate, you would have suspect right away that he was gay for one of two reasons. One was that she felt safe around him, or she needed some really good makeup tips.
Well,
that's what we're not dating.
Yeah. Hold on. Stanley, your mic is on.
I guess he ain't got any mic.
Go ahead, Alabama.
Yeah.
What I was saying was, I was just going to say that I feel like with people in the South, I feel as though they're a little bit, they speak slow, but I don't think people in the South are any less intellectual than people up North. I just feel as though we have a bad rap because we, you know, people come down here and they say, oh, the South is slow. They say that so much to where they think intellectually we can't grasp certain concepts. So, I think it's a disadvantage to come down here. That's why we run hip-hop. We have been running hip-hop for the last 15 years. Because they thought the South was slow, and it was nothing like that. So
that's not why you did it. But I got
you. Yeah. What?
You got that because everybody moved. All the music people moved to Atlanta because
Master P did what he did because they thought he was a country boy from New Orleans. Ain't know nothing about music. That guy got Priority Records to sign him 90%.
Lil Wayne is killing it down there, but they got there because all the music people moved out of New York at one time and moved down to Atlanta.
Hold up. Okay, so Master P did that. Outkast, LaFace Records, all those guys, they built the foundation of music way before all of these New York people started coming down south.
Hold on. LaFace.
But you... LaFace,
from right here that I was in bands with, is part of LaFace. Guess what? He ain't from the South. He from right here in Youngstown by way of Jersey and then down into Atlanta.
York cartel? That's the problem. Why? Okay, if that's the case, why haven't you guys done anything with music, with hip-hop? In the last 20 years, since 56.
Alabama,
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
I asked you at the beginning of the show, don't you want to move to Ohio for the weather? What did you tell me?
It's too cold.
Do you really think that Ohio is a destination for great weather and where people go? Atlanta gives you a good place. It's nice and warm most of the time, and it's very metropolitan.
Your ingenuity is what really fueled the South and then the boom. It's not us. We couldn't do it without you guys.
Alabama, we're not trying to say you couldn't do it without us, but trust me, it's a melting pot of people from all kinds of walks of life going down.
Atlanta's one city. You got when
but,
you talk about hip hop.
But you
got to
understand.
When you start talking about music, You got people from Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas.
And that's why we got a bunch of folks with a bunch of grills.
I'm not going to say that the music that comes from the South, all of it is intelligent music. I won't say that now. A lot of it is ignorant music. At the same time, let's not just act like, and that's what kills me about people up north. They want to treat us like, well, you know, you Southerners. We came down south, and that's why the hip hop industry.
You really can't. The Midwest gets the same treatment when it comes to the East Coast and the West Coast. The Midwest gets the same
territory. They're trying to stake their claim.
Money in the bank. Show them what you drink. Money in the bank. Show them what you think. Who is it, Diva? Who is it?
I don't know. I don't listen really listen to that type of music.
I'll be right back.
LA and New York showbiz people are snobs. LA and New York showbiz people are just flat out snobs.
There
is a part of the country that doesn't get put down by those folks because they're elitist, and that's where they come from.
And
if you want to talk about elite money people, you go San Francisco then, and you go New York City. Those are elite money people. Those areas have these people who just think their poop don't smell, and that whatever they say really is the 11th commandment that was never really written, that Moses held out on.
That's it. I mean, you go back to 95 at the Source Awards, and just listen. I've seen documentaries with different Southern rappers, and they'll just say, tell horror stories about how they were treated by people from New York and L.A., how they were disrespected.
Yeah.
Man, you know, you Southern, they would just talk. What's the guy, David Banner? It's a lot of creative producers in the South. It's not just because New York people move down South. It's just not like that. These have made good music, and they're doing good things. I'm not knocking people from New York. I think it's good when every culture is represented in hip-hop, but let's not act like that just because they moved down South, that's the only reason Southern hip-hop is doing what it did.
Yeah,
but that's the reason why Southern hip-hop had a breakout moment, because you had these executives moving to that area. These are the movers and shakers in that industry. You can't deny that. You're not going to get on without someone in that industry.
There are guys down here that sell 50 to 100,000 CDs out their trunk. They can care less about, I mean, I can name guys you ain't never heard of, but if I name a few of them, you will have heard of them. Because they were already making millions of dollars selling CDs down here. We were doing this while people up north were going up knocking on A&R doors. Hey,
we're only doing it in that demographic. The movers and shakers in the music industry are what's going to take your
pen out
of and make it national. Instead of
really
reaching.
Diva. Well, now you can get it. Hold on, Diva. You're not talking about black New York executives, and you're talking about white Jewish people now.
I'm talking about the movers and shakers in that industry, period. I don't care where they come from.
That's white people.
You're not. You can be independent all you want. You're not going to get on without one of them saying, putting you on. That's just the real deal of it.
No, not with the internet. That's not the case anymore.
Don't tell him then. That Soulja Boy, I guess some white. Yeah, white guy offered him a deal. Soulja Boy had already blew up. He was already making $10,000, $15,000. He was already charging $10,000, $15,000 a show before you ever heard of him. This guy was already making millions of dollars.
Exactly. I didn't hear of an old Soulja. Again, you're missing the point. Regional is one thing. Anybody could blow up regionally. When it comes to born on nationally,
the number 347-9.
Yo, Shorty, you need to get some of that South rap in there.
Okay.
Yeah, babe.
No.
You want to get that South rap?
That's what I'm saying. You can't say Southerners are not intelligent.
No, they're very intelligent.
When you look at country western, when you look at what really goes on in the South in the music industry and what they represent, they some smart people.
Wait a minute. Look at what they get down there, businesses they have.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, guys, they have businesses down there.
And I mean, people in the past have tried to think that people that had Southern slur was slow, but that ain't true. And I don't think a lot of people think that way today. Now, there may be some. But then, you know, you go down anywhere you go when you're an outsider. I mean, when you go to Los Angeles, they think that you ain't hip because you ain't from the West Coast. When you go to New York, they think you can't keep up because you're not from the East Coast.
Here's the one deal though, down in L.A., they respect North Coast music.
Well,
because I'm serious.
Well, music-wise, music is something different.
But yeah, but I'm trying to tell you, you have to understand something. Nobody does it like North Coast. I don't care
that's true.
To the regular coast or you go to the thing. They'll tell you this because now you know I'm experienced with this now. I'm experienced with this because I played in bands across the nation. So here's the thing. Whenever you go to the south or you go to the west, we the ones that's doing stuff because – can't nobody else do it
but
that
I
way.
Think it's the genre of music. It depends on I think it depends on the genre of music. I think it depends on the genre of music and
okay.
not necessarily
Tell me what you mean.
It depends on what type of music it is.
Okay.
When you're looking at funk, you're looking at East Coast. Absolutely.
East Coast.
That's what I said.
No,
I said,
you ain't.
Who are you looking at?
You're looking at North Coast.
Jeff, what's North Coast? What are you talking about,
Ohio,
Jeff? Nobody knows what you mean by North Coast.
Pennsylvania
and in New York.
And Michigan.
So you listen.
Got all the
Midwest.
That's what I'm saying. North Coast. We border the Lake States.
That's Midwest.
Well, it's Midwest,
that's Midwest.
What they call it. They call it the North Coast.
Well, you can call it the North
and
Midwest.
Well,
because that's funky. Everybody came out of there. That's where
mm-hmm.
that's where it was bred.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at rhythm and blues, you're looking at, again, that Michigan area also, R&B.
Like I said, R&B is North Coast.
Country, you're looking at
when I look
Nashville.
At singing is one thing.
And all
when
that North Coast.
Funk is another.
Soul.
But when I look at
they
gospel,
all
it's something different.
Dick
I think
Clark
it's
and to Motown.
I tell you, gospel
that's where
was
it all
because
started.
Of the,
I think gospel is West.
Well, who do we have? We had Andre Crouch, and you had the Hawkins.
You had L.A. Mass. You had, you had L.A. Mass, you had James Cleveland.
James Cleveland, that's why you're looking at West for that.
But if you look at the musicians, if you look at what they do, now you got your Tom Whitfield, you've got your
Thomas Whitfield.
Here.
That's right, he was
in
Michigan.
And
the Winans.
And that was Michigan.
Michigan.
That's Michigan.
Okay.
But I'm talking about musicians. I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about musicians.
Musicians. All of them come from Detroit, Ohio.
No.
PA, New York.
No.
Telling you, I adored the gospel. You know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you old.
I don't care how old I am.
Right now, ain't none of them good, if you ask me.
Where the anointed come out of? And they smoking still, but on a crossover.
Okay.
I'm a commission man myself.
You what?
Commission.
You old enough to know about that?
Commission? Fred Hammond? Bobby Sapp? Come on, man. Come on, really?
Grace for me, come
you
on,
you know,
man.
You know
do I know about Fred Hammond, Marvin Sapp? And then they had Marcus Cole singing with them. These guys, you remember the reunion live, the album they did?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, I remember it.
Hey,
I remember it all.
Not an ordinary
I just said you're old enough to know who they are. If anybody out there knows who Tony Love is, tell them the Tracy
look, I know who. Look, I know who James Cleveland is. That don't mean I was, you know, in that era. But I like James Cleveland. I like some of his songs. He might have been a little tambourine player, but I mean, I like his music.
Hold on, guys. Let me pull up some people. 440, how are you this morning? Hey.
Ain't nobody coming in when you get them. Well, there you go.
There he is. 440, your mic is on. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Are you going to watch the Super Bowl Sunday?
More likely. But I wanted to tell you, you're talking about music. You know where the real hotbed of music is Houston. Houston, Texas. You can go into that town. You can hear anything from country and western to rock to rap to hip-hop. anything you want. That place is rocking.
But you know what, though? 440, Diva made
Alabama,
a point.
Hold on.
I don't disagree with
Alabama.
Diva.
Alabama.
I think
that's why. There you go. Go ahead, 440. Continue
on. I was finished. I have friends down there, and I spent some time down there, and I mean to tell you, that town rocks as far as a variety of music that you can, you know, you can go and hear. And I mean, it's crazy how many clubs they have down there. I mean, there's just a lot. That's it.
Go ahead.
No, you ain't.
Yeah, listen. Listen, when Cameo first came out, now this is a long time
ago. Are they out of Houston?
No. Cameo is, aren't they Detroit?
No.
Where's Cameo from? Somebody give me that.
He live in Atlanta,
yeah.
But go ahead.
Are they in Atlanta? But where are they from? Where did they originate from?
I see them all the time.
I heard that. Where did they originate? Where did they come out of? Where did Heatwave and Cameo and all them come out of?
Wait,
give me a second.
Yeah.
Well, Chicago? Somebody know? Why don't you tell us?
I can't get it up. I can't get it in there. I gotta look it up, and I can't get in there. Heatwave. Oh, man, we're right. They're from Philly.
Now, Philly has a great sound.
Oh, Del Phonics.
I'm talking about TSOP?
Because all of them came after the Delphonics. The Delphonics were the sound of Philly, and so was my man.
They killed himself.
He didn't kill himself. He just got messed up.
Cameo. Origin.
Close the door.
Who?
Let me tell you what you've been looking for.
Teddy P.
Teddy
Pendergrass got messed up. I was thinking of more. Where was Don Cornelius out of?
Don Cornelius was out of Detroit. Oh, Chicago?
Okay.
What's
Cameo's out of New York.
Who?
Cameo, out of New York.
Yeah.
Cameo, they originally started off as a 13-member group known as the New York City Players.
Yes, they were.
It was changed to Cameo to avoid a lawsuit from the Ohio Players. Another group from that air.
Did y'all like Full Force?
They changed it from the New York City Players to Cameo to avoid a lawsuit from the Ohio Players. Because their names.
Because they didn't want to have that be that close. Go ahead, Covina Man.
Yeah, I just had two problems with this conversation. One, I think that is a bad barometer to judge a people by their hip hop. That's almost like the lowest common denominator of people. And then two, why are black folks so loyal to a particular city? Like, let's say I'm in L.A., and I think like L.A. is better than Houston or better than Missouri. Like, I didn't build L.A. Why should I be anything tied to L.A.? Like that's something that I created. It just happens that I was born in L.A., and that's it. Black folks should have no regional. I'm just saying, black folks should have no regional loyalty. We didn't really build none of this. So
I'm going to just break on
that.
Personally.
Well, no, I mean, we were talking about people and how they treat a certain segment of the population when we said they
loyal to their hometown.
We weren't talking about the wealth of who controls the wealth in these cities. Nobody disagrees with that. We're talking about the people and how they treat one another. That's what initially fed us into this. Hip hop was just used as an example. Of course, hip hop it is a low denominator. I will agree with you. A lot of this drug music, I'm not cool with it. But I do understand that is an example I can use to show that Southerners aren't as slow as they try to play us. And people from California come to Tuskegee University and come to the South and make these comments and say we're slow. And then when they leave, they love the South. So it's not just about, you know, we're not talking about the wealth and who controls the nations. I mean, nobody's going to argue with you there, man.
Well, all of
I think the reason why somebody would say that somebody might be slow or something based upon their experience with them is probably not how you, deal with your mom and your cousins. It's probably how you interact with other people in society. So if I go down there and I see a bunch of step and fetch it acting in people. You know, if you remember step and fetch it, if that's the way they act around people within, you know, when they go home and they talk regular, then people go say, oh, yeah, you guys are slow down there. For some reason, you guys, you know, put on the clown face when you're out in public. But, you know, but people in L.A. or whatever, that's who I am. People in New York, that's how they are.
No. They refer to Southerners as slow because
culture. When they talk about the South is slower, the South, when it's more of culture, the way you dress, the way, just how when society changes, the South is slower to change along the lines of society. I think that's what they mainly mean. I don't think they're really talking about each individual person. They may have back in the day, but I mean, you got to face it. The South is still slower, just like the Midwest, when it comes to societal change than the East Coast and the West Coast. And you have to admit those two.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
The South is slower paced and they speak slower too. And people equate that to being retarded or something. Let's just say it like it is, and it's not, you know? And besides, everybody in music today, I don't care what genre of music they got, they're all standing on the shoulders of rock and roll, which came out of the South to begin with, which was part of the black experience.
Wait a minute, rock and roll was invented after you had rhythm and blues. Rock and roll came out of
a different genre. But that all came out of the South. Here's the point, Diva. Here's what I'm trying to say. Prior to that, the music industry was New York and L.A., and you were either in a big band or you were a studio singer like a Bing Crosby. There was no room for anybody
also
who wasn't
Mike,
doing anything else.
Also, Mike, rock and roll was a black term. So that was
exactly.
A black connotation.
And jazz was a black term.
Well, you got to talk about Kansas City, about jazz and stuff, too, now.
Yeah,
spread
jazz
out.
Came out of the South.
That's what. But you know what I love about
right,
black
exactly.
people? We can do stuff like that. We're very creative. We're very, when it comes
to
music.
I don't think you're talking about music, per se.
Wrong.
He's got a dial tone.
But you was wrong. Jeff was right earlier, sir.
Hello. Somebody didn't get disconnected, or they had the first freeway in.
They can distribute music. I mean, that common sense.
Well, Jeff was right earlier.
That's why Rap-A-Lot first he got.
You're breaking up,
whoever
it is. Is everybody breaking up?
Yeah, can you hear that dial tone or that tone?
I hear that, yes.
Yeah, somebody need to cut this shit off.
Yeah, well, it could be back in the studio. They dialed in
I think that's Tracy.
Our channel and they hung up accidentally and they don't know they've cut us off. And... No. So. Is that Diva? Diva, are you there, hon?
I guess you.
Why does it keep going on and off?
I don't know.
You know, they probably set their headphones by the done thing getting feedback or something.
Yeah, they probably didn't accidentally hit a button or something.
Well, Jack was right, though, Alabama. And look, in the late 90s, early 2000s, DJs and everybody was moving down to Atlanta. All the black people was talking about Atlanta is the new black capital of the world, and people migrated. I know a local DJ. Now the local DJ is back here now. But they are right. A lot of people from North was migrating from L.A. was migrating to Atlanta. That's just a fact, though.
I remember
that's
back
just a fact. That's not taking nothing away from y'all. I mean, that's not taking nothing away from the artists down south. But that is the truth because guess what? Because guess what? They did also. I understand Master P, but they did also need people that's already established in the business who was from New York and L.A. to help them out.
I don't disagree with you that they moved down south, but white guys own Priority Records. They own the distribution network. That's what I was just telling Deep. Rap-A-Lot Records, they got busted. Freddie Prinze and Irv Gotti got in trouble. They were trying to establish their own distribution network so they don't have to go through these people like Demi Iovine, Interscope Records.
Well,
they were trying to do that.
They're not going to do that no more. They're not going to let nobody do what
they're not
going to
do that
because
they thought he was stupid.
Right, they stopped that. Well, right, but they stopped it. They put laws to stop that. They're not going to do that. They fucked up. I'm sorry, I messed up.
As far as establishing his own independent industry, that was groundbreaking, and they won't allow that to happen again.
It wasn't just the label. It was the fact of the deal. But he got him in a headlock with the deal. They gave him 90%
thought he was going to sell a couple of thousand. And he went off. And he started dropping albums every week. It was killing me. He was getting $88 a CD off, but he made about.
Oh. Gosh, that is so irritating.
I didn't even know she went to commercial break. But you got to realize that guy was talking about he was people was repping cities. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but people going to tell people where they come from, though, sir.
Sorry, I'm proud to be
an
Ohio
like
native.
Just the way it is.
Yeah,
I mean, when I was
a low level, it's division. Mm-hmm. Like if we're black people, why am I gonna discriminate because somebody's from LA or somebody's from Ohio?
Oh no, you should discriminate. Now. Right, exactly.
Oh, is this Jeff?
And friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number 347-945-5229. Hey, that's my first time ever using this. You know, I never knew how to use that player. I know,
yeah,
the carriers and stuff, I was confused.
Something's going on.
Oh, they hung up.
See, Diva.
What?
Diva.
Oh, is that the, that's nice.
That's the song I wrote for you and Steve.
No, don't do that. Don't say that. See, now I've got to, I can't. No offense to Steve.
He's
going
to call now.
No offense to Steve.
Would you go buy that one?
But I would buy that record.
Well, it's coming out pretty soon.
Jeff, you know what? I have to say, I never really thought you had a great voice.
No, that ain't my voice there, but I sing good, but I wanted Young on that, and I put one of my boys on there.
Jeff, just go
Sam
get a run right quick. Get a little sample, Jeff.
Hey,
get a sample right quick.
Oh, who's singing on that record?
We get it in every now and then.
Who's singing on that record, and what's the name of the record?
It's called Look in Your Eyes.
By who?
By Jeff Green.
Who's
exactly
singing it?
Jeff.
Sam Harris. Guy from here. They had you ought to know Sam. He's just a
Ooh.
Little bit older than you. Sam
Ooh.
Harris.
From North Carolina?
Yeah. You know Sam. He used to play for Neville's Temple. And
yeah.
They were left out of here with Who's Who. Well, they did their demo in my studio. And they did a version of Living for the Love of You. They told us thing up, right? We did a 24-hour. Dr. Bob plays with came in and did the production. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, no.
Oh, he's with the Isley Brothers from here. Why can't I think of his name? His father was a deacon over
Ross.
At, Ross, yeah.
Yeah, Ross.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you think of his name? Clarence Ross.
Yeah.
Ross.
Dr. Bob, we call him. Bad boy. He's done.
He's got a lot of stuff from Youngstown.
He did stuff for Beyonce. He did stuff for several other female artists out there. Oh, he got credits.
You know who my favorite band is of all time? I think
who?
The Jazz Band.
Oh, man, with Skip. Oh my God.
They used to practice over.
Now that I have you, my life has changed.
Nah,
I feel brand new.
That ain't the one. That ain't the
Whip
song.
It.
No.
Whip
no,
it, baby.
No, no,
whip me right.
No.
Whip
no.
me, baby. Whip me all night.
No, time for love. I'll find it.
That's
the one. That's the one.
Hey,
oh,
yeah. Johnny talking about that. Can I ask Alabama something?
What? Yeah, we couldn't talk during the break because that noise.
I'm in the break room.
I want to
go
ask
ahead,
that.
Do what
Covina Man. Listen, I don't know if you guys celebrate.
Asking permission.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Hold on. Covina Man, listen.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know in Covina, California, and or West Covina, California, which one it is.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all celebrate the Super Bowl, but it's Super Bowl weekend. We're just trying to keep
celebrate.
It light.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. We're just trying to keep it light. We rock and roll all the week long. It's
Hold on, Tracy. I actually agree with Covita, man, on a few issues. So I really don't take it. I'm not finna. It ain't gonna be no vitriol if he asks me a question. I just answer it.
Okay.
I just want to
keep Covita, man, ask a question. What do you want?
Yeah, I just want to ask you, Alabama, that we was having a discussion last week. And, you know, I don't get to call in because you guys changed the time that much, but we were talking about. He was saying that segregation was good, and I wanted to ask him the question. Anybody else want to answer this too? Was the fact that people like Ray Charles and Louis Armstrong had successful careers under Jim Crow and discrimination, is that indicative of that everyone else in society enjoyed themselves equally as they did under institutions like Jim Crow and segregation? Would you say that that would be an exception?
Okay, I cleared this up last week, but I'm going to do it again. Number one, I'm not saying that segregation was good. I said it would be good if we controlled our own dollars within our community like we did under segregation. I said that Asians go – hold on, let me finish. I said Asians go to Walmart, Asians go to other businesses that aren't owned by Asians, but primarily their dollars are kept within their communities, just like Jews, just like – and I said, if you could take that and apply that principle to the black community, we would be better off. I wasn't saying that we should – and if a business does do that, where they say, hey, you can't come in because you're black, then that's their stupid right to do it. And if they do that, then I think that it will benefit black people, because then they will create a hole in the market where black people can't get in certain things, just like the Negro Baseball League, which, contrary to popular belief, was a very good baseball league. And once these white people saw, racist people saw that there was a lot of dollars to be made from these athletes, that's when they started integrating. So I'm not just pro-segregation. I never was. I'm just saying, let's not act like, if you look at a lot of statistics, that we weren't better off as a people. In all these, in every statistic you try to name, we was better off before they quote-unquote. See, and I heard Umar Johnson say this, if you're going to survive, you have to be able to adapt. We haven't adapted. The enemy has adapted. We haven't. You have to be able to change and evolve. We're not evolving. We're just staying. It's 1965. We're still screaming and begging to come in and give somebody who you say don't like you rights and freedom and jobs. Maybe you should go out and try to create your own. That's all I was saying.
Okay, hold on.
Look, I got to go to my cubicle. Y'all have a good day. Ain't got time.
All right.
Stay up.
All right,
go ahead. Go ahead, Covina.
Oh, no,
you didn't agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with the last part of what he's saying, but not the first part. You know, basically the first part was, and the premise of it is that we somehow need white folks to be at their whitest. That if white folks had this is essentially what he's saying. If we allow white folks to just do what they're supposed to do and just discriminate over us, then we would have a vacuum in the.
That's not what
he said.
That's what he did say. He said, when you have white people, when you have racists being racist and allow them to be racist, then it creates a vacuum for black people to just come together and build and create. But that wasn't the gist of what he was saying, though.
Here's the thing.
How did you interpret what he said?
Well, this is how I interpret it. What he was saying was that he said you had the situation beforehand, and I'm going to add this part to it. You had your community was self-sufficient because it had to be, because you couldn't go to certain stores and you couldn't do certain things. Well, after 64, and the Democrats figured out that they could own you, not in slavery anymore, but they could own you politically, they passed civil rights. And then you started going out and to other places, and buying products and
abandoning your base,
your own neighborhood.
Okay, hold stop on. Right there. Let's not advance any further. Let's tackle that bracket right there.
Hold on,
I have to take a break.
So you can tackle that on the way back.
You're taking a lot of breaks today.
No, I'm not. I got to take my commercial break. I got to pay the bill.
We might have to go together.
You know, this is good.
I was going to say something, but I'm going to keep
being in prison. Go find seven Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told you that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. You take your money and you control and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with your politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems, so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.35% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March is what? Who cares? Marches never change anything.
Modell. Frame House Gallery, a professional frame.
Sorry, kid, can't help you.
Well, I think you've got enough.
Somebody got their TV on?
Somebody's having problems with their house.
So what did you think about that little clip they played?
Oh, Dr. Claude Anderson, yeah, I'm very familiar with him and the whole, I've been pretty much studying him for probably the last 20 years, and I think there's a flaw in his argument. And the flaw, if you ever, there's a ghetto colloquial term called, that people say that's called Big Bang Take Little Bank.
Yes.
And the flaw in his argument, he makes part of his arguments are good, but it's essentially the idea that if black folks practice group economics, they'll have enough money to buy the politicians and to shape society in the way that we feel that it should be shaped. And the problem with that argument is big bank take little bank. Black folks' economics is at the bottom. So if it became a battle between black folks buying politicians or Jewish people buying politicians, the Jewish people will have representation in Senate and the black folks won't. And that's how it is. We don't have money.
I see
what
you're saying, but in a way I have to disagree because black people, we do have a lot of spending power. A lot of these companies, a lot of these corporations depend on black people spending that particular type of money. So we do have the buying power. The only thing that I disagree with is the fact that we, you know, I think I use BET as an example. BET back in the day when it first started out was a great media outlet for black entertainment. We had things like Video Soul, which promoted nothing. The music wasn't like it is on, like, 106 and Park. You know, Video Soul, we had Tavis Smiley, the other guy who did newscasting. It was just great. And it's been bought out by Viacom, and the programming has completely changed. They show us as ratchet, ghetto, hot mess. That's all you see. That's why I don't even watch BET anymore. But every time you have something, even when we had Rockaware, we had, I think there's only one industry, maybe one or two in the hair care industry, black people, black owned. It's like, why do we always build something up and then we get bought out by non-blacks and then they change up on us? So, I mean, for me, that's the biggest complaint I hear from black people is, you know, we want to support, but every time we support, they sell out and then they change up on us. How many times do we have to keep going through it?
That's absolutely, I mean, that part right there is absolutely, everybody can, that's clearly you can see that. And it goes politically, like anytime someone becomes successful, they become, look what happened with Herman Cain, right? He's successful. Nobody really heard of him, but all of a sudden he successfully becomes and he joins the other side. Ben Carson, he comes successfully joins the other side. Yep. So we have a consistency of black folks becoming successful and then joining up with the enemies and trying to destroy us. That part is we already know that. That's not what anyone disagreed with. My only disagreement was Dr. Clyde Anderson.
7945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 24 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock here on the last day of January, and I hope you're having a good day today. As I said, my favorite band, I think, is it's either Cameo, Heatwave, but I know it's that. It was just something about it. And the voices, I mean, y'all talking about.
You remember when the Reddys had the station over there in PA?
Yes, I do. With Frankie and Larry Reddy, wasn't it?
With Frankie and Larry. These were dangerous.
Come on! We wouldn't let them on the radio until late at night.
Dangerous songs! Oh, my God.
Seriously, they couldn't get on the radio until the middle of the night.
It was hard for you to live safe.
You had to. Well, I was too young, yeah.
I ain't talking about you.
That's too young.
And
you had to add him.
You weren't too young.
We got to give the history. They were over in Farrell.
Yeah, about 10 miles, 12 miles from us.
And you had to have the radio turn the right way to get the signal in because they only came on at night.
I don't know. Well, Jimmy, I got them clear.
That's because you was on the south side. Y'all had
I wasn't on the south side. I was out in Boardman then.
Oh, you was old.
Oh, yeah, 70. They were still on the air. When did they quit? 79?
I don't know, Jeff. In 79, I was still only 14 years, 15 years old.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know.
Here we go.
And let me respond to Jeff before y'all go to a break again.
Hold up.
Y'all about to go to break. Y'all about to go to break.
She's taking a lot of breaks today.
I'm trying to do steer and keep it a little. Sometimes
I'm on y'all's side.
Trying to do a little light. Y'all just trying to just jump in and talk segregation and racism, and the white man got his foot on your neck, and you can't go nowhere and spend the money, and got to go backwards. And I'm just trying to say, you know, it's an invitation to love. We ought to just have a love fest. If we can do that now, then in 30 years, we can do like the rest of the people, and we can control the country, just like the flower people did 40 years ago.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
But can we get something more towards the generation of some of us on the phone? I'm like, man, she is in a mood.
No, I'm not going to that hip-hop
What you want to add,
you don't have to say hip-hop. I don't mind some R&B, but something within the last two decades of nice.
Hold on. Get the track ready.
I got to push the right button.
All those silly things.
Steve. Hey, Steve, you there?
Yeah, this is Steve.
That ain't Steve.
How you doing, Steve?
Good. Would you play a song for me and Diva?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi, Steve. Oh, my gosh, I'm blushing right now.
Tracy, a little bit.
Lord have mercy.
They need to have a conversation.
Yeah, but bring the track up so he know what to say.
What you got to say, Steve?
Miss Tracy, was that Dr. Claude Anderson that you played?
Yes, it was.
You know that's Brother Kay's, one of his mentors. It's Dr. Claude Anderson.
I know.
Although he had many mentors, although remember when Tom Pope used to come on?
Yes, I do.
Notice that Tom Pope is no longer on those seats.
Anywhere in the country.
No, I know. He tried to go off the air.
Why?
I guess he wanted to retire.
No, that's not how this works.
No.
So what you got to say, Steve? I'm not trying to do a history of Tom Pope.
That's right. I wanted to say to Diva, I thought that, and I have one of Cameo's old school songs, and I wanted to tell Diva, I thought they was from Atlanta, and she said that they're originally, Steeler, I mean, could you explain, are they originally from New York, or how does that go, because...
I don't know. I looked it up on Google. Google says they're originally the original 13-member band is out of New York.
When did they start, though, Diva? What year was it? Was it 1977? Because
no,
I know that they played.
Hold on. Ooh, I am not a connoisseur.
They came out. They came out in the early 1970s. Cameos were a 13-member group. Known as the New York City Players, as Diva was saying, she read it on Wikipedia too. And this is the name later changed because they got sued from a lawsuit by the Ohio Players, another group in that era.
I remember that.
As of 2009, the original member group continues to perform together while two others were hired by the hip-hop Outkast. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Their influences include Rick James, Parliament Funkadelic, and temporary funk bands like the Barcade, Earth, Wind & Fire, Ohio Players, the Isley Brothers, and singers like Marvin Gaye, Billy Paul, Prince, Isaac, Stevie Wonder, and Bootsy Collins. I got to go give Covina Man some time. Covina Man, go ahead.
My boy, you're from Cincinnati.
I was just going. Y'all talk about Cameo. Cameo's okay. I like Cameo. I like Heatwave. But let me just finish what I was talking about with Jeff before I got to go because I got to go to work. That the thing with Jeff is making his argument, which I guess black folks that were on the conservative side of the spectrum was making back with Dr. King and Black Panthers and Malcolm X and everybody was doing their thing in the 60s, that black folks was too soon to start doing something. But it was black folks was trying to be too radical, and Jess is trying to point out that there was some kind of paradise that black folks were unaware that existed. That they were sitting in some kind of paradise where they controlled their own economics and controlled everything. Everything was like hunky-dory, and along came this
outside communist Martin Luther King who decided, oh, we want to try to change things and try to take people down the drain. Like what's your argument here, Jeff, on that situation? Where was this context of greatness that black folks was running away from?
Okay, here's the thing. You were self-sufficient in the 60s. Okay, a young woman between childbearing age was 10 times more likely to be married with a husband in the house than her white counterpart. So what I'm trying to tell you, you had businesses in your community. You had black stores. You had, you know, my grandfather and grandmother, my great-grandfather, excuse me, ran a store. My grandmother, before she came up from the South, and grandfather, they had a restaurant. So what you're saying is what happened in the 60s, we went way overboard in being able to do things now and being able to go different places. We went to the white man's place, and we thought the white man's ice was cooler, and we wiped out our own businesses. Now we're dependent upon a political party to deliver for us, and they never do, and you look like a fool.
Let me also throw this into the mix. You have to understand, and I think Martin Luther King, the reason why he was so down at the end of his life, because if you read and you hear, he was not as enthusiastic at the end of his life as he was at the beginning during the movement. And I think he realized that we were not prepared. We needed integration, but we were not prepared what we were getting integrated into. And it's my understanding that Harry Belafonte has quoted saying that he said, "I think I've led my people into a burning building." You have to realize that integration was a great concept if it was going to be a duality and it was going to go both ways. But what happened is, we were not prepared economically and or mentally to integrate. Segregation is not a good thing. Jim Crow is not a good thing. But what we did not do is we were not mature enough to understand the economics of a communist society. Not communist, but a capitalist society.
Yeah, because
you're in California, right?
Correct.
Okay. Have you been on Central Avenue down in Los Angeles?
Not recently, but yes, I've been there.
But you have been there. And have you seen the buildings before they tore them down of the old hotels that used to be there?
I'll take your word for it. I haven't been there, but I'll take your word for it.
At one time, on Central Avenue in Los Angeles, California, it was riddled with restaurants and cleaning places and dry cleaners and hotels for people that were of color because they couldn't go anywhere else. And after integration came into being, those places had to close.
Right.
Because we no longer frequent there, but we went to the Holiday Inn and we went to other places. And we did not understand how to go about being a part of a capitalist system. And so what Alabama's been trying to say is, we need to go back and start teaching not to become segregated, but become self-sufficient so that we're not depending upon the government. Only a black person is going to understand another black person when they come to work for them in reality. And when I say that, I'm not saying that's all for everyone, but I know that during the hair care movement, when Sofshin and Lester's and Summit and all the other black hair care companies were thriving, they were actually employing African Americans and giving us opportunity, and they understood our culture enough so that when we were crazy, they helped cultivate who we were to make us better.
Tracy, I don't disagree with a lot of the things that you're saying in the area of what black folks need to do economically and so on and so forth. What pains me in this conversation is I'm trying to take the side of you know, something that I normally don't necessarily advocate for, which is basically integration lifestyle. What I'm trying to do with this argument is to point out that there was no paradise. Well, Jeff is saying that his family owned a business.
We didn't say it was a paradise.
Fine.
But I'm saying his family owned a business. Fine, okay, there was a people owned a business, but there was 100 people who was homeless or living up in a shack, all sharing one room down in Miss Susie's place. Let me finish the point. But then all of a sudden, people were able to go out there and get an education, wherever to get an education from, and then going to different places in society and start getting jobs and unemployment opportunities that never existed.
Hello.
Living up there in Rooster's place. All of a sudden, now people can go out there and become a scientist, work at JPL.
No,
they can do whatever they want to. They can do everything.
Didn't work that way, Doc. I'm sorry to tell you.
My father was a living example of it, Jeff.
Listen.
He's not going to listen.
Go ahead. I'm going to pause.
My father was a lawyer long before 1964. In fact, my father worked on the Civil Rights Commission of Ohio. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. That had nothing to do with you being able to go to school or able to do certain things. It had to do with you being able to go certain places in society, and you overdid it till you destroyed the infrastructure of your own neighborhood. That's all I'm telling you. I'm not telling you that Martin Luther King was wrong. I admire and I extol Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all my other leaders from that time because they were brave men saying what needed to be said at the time it was said to free a people. But you got free and bound yourself once again to a political entity that kept you in the same place you were
in worse shape. I need to get some clarity. Martin Luther King, the riots came in 1968 after Martin Luther King
died. Well, 66. You had the Watts riot.
The Watts riot in 66. Do you realize that, and when I say this, do you realize the mindset of people who burn up their own neighborhood?
Yeah, it wasn't their neighborhood, man. That's one of the things I was trying to tell you about black folks being loyal to the city. That stuff they burned up wasn't theirs. They didn't own nothing. These people were
No. Listen to what I'm saying. How old are you?
I am 46.
So the riots of 92. I'm sorry, I'm 92. The Rodney King riots.
Yes.
Do you remember those?
Yeah, remember
you were in your right.
Yes.
Did we burn up our own?
No, we didn't own nothing.
Oh, a lot of them businesses.
They put a sign on the wall that said, this is black owned, don't burn it.
Matter.
And they skipped over it when we were burning next week.
Hold on.
They burned businesses that were in their community, but they weren't black owned.
But that's not true. Hold on. I've got pictures. Because if we put black owned in the windows, so that they would not destroy the black-owned business. But the fire damage and the water damage from the buildings, when you touch one, you touch another, it still hurt them. Now, it hurt Chuck over at Chuck's Beauty Spot. It hurt the black businesses because, remember, some of them were black businesses that we burned down.
Not only that, at the police station.
That's what they should have done.
No, wait a minute. They should have pulled their dollars out of the system and should have worked it politically.
Thank you.
What they should have done. And again, no one is teaching that. I watched.
But the fact
of
the matter is,
Diva, hold on.
Anger and frustration. Diva, listen to me.
And
no other outlet is withdrawal.
Diva, I lived there. I was in it. I went out and drove through it. I had never seen nothing like it before in my life and may not ever see it again in my life. And what I'm telling you is I watched your leaders know that the verdict could have gone the wrong way. And instead of coming up with a program, which they always want the government to do, and instead of them doing something with it, what they did was they allowed them to beat up a white boy who was driving a truck down the street that they didn't know. And that was just stupid.
Original Denny, who had helped somebody just a minute before that.
And we sit back and watch it, Diva.
That helped black people.
Diva, we were watching it on television, and they knew it was coming, and they had no plan and no program. And because, as I said at the beginning of the show, we are reactive. I turned her off because she was talking over me. I'm telling y'all, we're not doing that.
I know that's right.
Trace, the thing that I want to say, it doesn't matter who owned the business that's next door to your freaking house. If it's next door to your house, you don't burn it down because it's going to affect your house. It's also now going to affect your dollars because now you're going to have to travel further to get something than you did before. It was stupid. That didn't make any sense.
And Kobe,
It wasn't even a case.
It was a case. What are you talking about?
I live out here. That's not even a case.
Sweetheart, I live out there too. I ain't lying about this. I ain't making up stories. I'm telling y'all, I took a camera and went down. I got all kinds of pictures. I pulled them up over the weekend and just said,
people
wow.
People got mad and they burned stuff up and they looted.
Covina, man, I saw a man take a tow truck and pull an ATM out the wall.
Look, when Martin Luther King got killed in 68, there's a street that was four blocks from my house, Hillman Street. Hillman Street went up in flames. And guess what? It impacted the people more than it impacted the businesses because they had insurance, and guess what? They survived. They took their money and ran, and you had not a doggone thing in there, and now you got today the black community screaming about, we don't have no stores inside the community.
Let me say this.
Which is crazy.
Let me say this. And I worked for a Fortune 500 corporation during the Rodney King riots, and I watched this corporation, and there were black businesses that helped build them. And they had me taking $3,000, $4,000, and $10,000 checks to my distributors. But the black business that built the brand inside the community, they never gave him a dime. What I'm trying to tell you is we need to understand that we need to have our own, but our leaders, there's nothing wrong with integration as long as you know who you are. But if you're always trying to become something that you're not, it will always have power over you. And that's what we've done. Tell me why in the world would we as African-American women spend as much money as we do trying to get silky straight hair instead of taking care of the hair that we have. And all of us are guilty of it.
Hold on,
Covina. What did you say, Eric?
I said that the other day in the break, and I got beat up for about two black women. Right, Diva?
Right, because it's easier. Tracy and I are different on an age scale, so what they were doing back in her day is completely what's going on now. Now it's about hair management, hair care. And now that you have more black women who are working, it's easier to manage your hair in that state than it is.
Diva.
And if
you are correct. Diva, you are correct.
Especially when they work out as hard like that. But see, it's all about the attitude. I always tell a woman, it's least, if you wear weave, because I deal with women with natural hair, nasty attitudes, women with weaves, good attitudes. I say, if you're wearing a weave, let me see you without your weave, and as a man, let me make my choice. But I have no problem with it.
But let me see.
We should sell to ourselves. If we're going to have black stores selling weed, we should, do business with that instead of going to the Koreans.
But listen to what
that's
I'm saying.
Saying.
Listen to what I'm saying. You have the right to have the hair that you choose to have. I give you all that. I'm just saying. But overall, there are some things that we do, and we need to understand that that's not who we are. Black women have hips. It is who we are. We have busts. We have broad shoulders. It is who we are. And we need to understand that's who we are. And quit trying to be something else.
Okay,
I don't know any black woman who don't want to have no hips and no butt.
So according to you, every woman should have an afro because straightened hair is
not
who we are, Tracy.
That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying, sweetie. Listen, I have a relaxer. Marilyn, listen, I have a relaxer in my hair before hair management. I have a lot of hair and it's extremely thick. But what I'm saying is, I don't know if you remember back in 1984, 85. Revlon. I was in Los Angeles. Revlon, the owner of Revlon, and he got into a battle with the owner of the gardeners and the owners of Soft Sheen Products. And what he told him was, He said, if you keep up to do something, I'm going to own you. We got mad, and we started to boycott Revlon because we had Optimum, which was another relaxer. We were making our own relaxers. We were making our own curls. We were making our own hair care products. We were manufacturing. We were distributing. We were selling. We were hiring, and we had a base of infrastructure. And because we did not support and because we did not do, guess where we are right now? Sashin is now owned by the people who Revlon. You have to understand what we've done in our integration. Your radio stations, I played Claude Anderson a little bit earlier, and Claude Anderson talked about this. We used to have 200 to 500 radio and television stations across this nation, and now you've only got maybe 30. And then the 30 or that you have, most of them are still not owned by themselves. They're owned by a bank somewhere and or a hedge fund.
Well, so you don't, is that, I mean, are they being bought? Like, are you takeovers or are people putting enough money to entice black businesses away?
Diva, we don't, listen, we don't support our own.
That's not true. We support BET. We support hair care.
No,
we
you
support
don't.
It. All these hair care companies.
Who decided to show BET? Not the black community, Tracy.
Of course,
that was a business owner.
BET ain't owned by no black people. BET is owned by Viacom, and they took that good stage, black station, and turned it ratchet. Every program that comes on BET is ratchet.
Diva.
And you watch it.
And not only that.
No, I don't watch it because it's ratchet.
Diva, guess what they did, too? They took every bit of informative news off of that station. And every type of okay, but
well,
wait.
But so did Bob Johnson when he took off Smiley.
Well, he took off Travis Smiley. But
that was towards the end, though.
So
that was
towards the middle.
When Viacom was about to take over.
No, Travis was on till almost the end.
And then you also got to understand, remember, let's go back to Tom Joyner when he took Travis off because he didn't want to come out and sing the song of Barack Obama.
But you have to look who owns BET now. You can't say... Black people don't own BET anymore. Who decision was that?
Because black people always supported BET. Who was that? That was the business owner decision, not ours.
Essence Magazine is no longer owned by a black company because you don't support it. Your radio stations and the tell me, when you listen to commercials, how many black commercials do you hear? Because we don't support it.
Sorry,
we don't give it infrastructure.
I was talking about BET.
It's the same thing. What'd you say?
Trade.
Hold on, Marilyn.
Barack Obama got 95% of the black vote. You think he would have been there if it depended on black campaign contributions? Not a chance.
No. You're right. But you gave him your vote for free. You act like your vote doesn't count for anything. It does. It's all the same. Money and votes, that's all that matters in politics. And how you can give me 98% of your vote and not get anything back, that's crazy.
Why did Obama raise more money than Romney this campaign? Because of small donations.
Stop. Don't believe that stupidity right there. Listen, Barack Obama got his money from unions. He got his money from Wall Street. And he got his money from the 12 or 20 organizations that George Soros, billionaire, hedge fund operator, the face of the progressives in the world gave him everybody's little $10, $20 contribution. That's all a lie anyway, because he didn't get no money like that. That they do is they have big people give them money, and then they'll name people in their businesses that gave $10 here. That's a lie, just a plain lie. And they tell you that, and you believe it because you don't know how stuff works. That's what gets me.
Let me finish.
But here's the thought. What we're telling you is that you keep selling yourself out, and then expect to get a positive result.
me say this, and let me say this, and it goes both sides. As a black business, you ought to do business right. But when you open up, do you support them? Do you give them extra couple dollars? When they do something wrong, do you go back and tell them, or do you go and tell somebody else? I mean, that's the question.
See, there's no wrong. Right, but see, I just want to say something. I'm not naive to sit here and say Obama did not give big money. Like, Romney got big money. Most Republicans, conservatives got a lot of money, so he got a big donations too.
The combination
of Obama's big donation, the lobbyists, I agree with you, and those small donations, with the combination of that, he raised more money than Romney. That's all I wanted to say. And the small donations added up. I'm telling you. That's all I wanted to say. You know what?
Let me say this. You're right. African Americans, and there are people that have never given a campaign contribution in their life.
In their life.
They did contribute to President Obama's campaign. But my question is, do you also contribute to your local school board campaign and make sure you got a person running that's going to take care of your kids?
Well, Obama made it very easy. I mean, they made it so easy the way he did that. Now you just text your campaign contribution and they take it off your cell phone bill. A lot of people ain't going to. They just made it very easy. I don't even know. When you said your local school board, I didn't know they were campaigning for funds. I didn't know they do that.
That's the truth of the matter.
I may sound ignorant, but I didn't know they do that. I didn't know it was a big-time campaigning situation when it comes to school. Maybe because this one down here is so small, but
no,
that's because
all,
that's
all,
what they don't put out there.
But, Diva, it's all of them. The question is, in the long, when we talk about integration, and Karina Mann brought this up, when you talk about integration, again, it comes with knowledge. With all that getting, get an understanding. And we get a whole lot of knowledge, but we don't understand the knowledge that we get. We need to start opening our eyes to see what's in front of us because we're being played. And until we actually start doing something for ourselves, if you want to have more jobs, you got to get more. You got to get more education. To get more education, you got to get involved politically in your school board and in your city council. Hold on, Stanley. I think Eric was first.
Yeah, earlier in the week on Jimmy Kimmel, you know how Jay Leno goes out on the street and asks people questions?
Yes.
He went out on a Monday afternoon and asked people what they thought of the State of the Union address. Well, we all know it wasn't Tuesday night. People were actually saying, oh, yeah, I thought it was great. That shows you there how many people are just uninformed and don't know what's going on.
It's not that. It's that they don't know that they're brainwashed. And the reason why they're brainwashed, they just like this guy. So they like the guy. It doesn't matter what he says or doesn't say. Because we sit up here and tell people facts all day long, and they ignore what we tell them.
They act like we poo-pooing on the system. And I keep on telling people this. As an African-American female, I don't think you know how hard it was for me not to support the first African-American president.
Me too.
You have no idea how much, as a politician and a person who loves politics, how much I would love to have been involved in his campaign and to help him get to where he's going. But when I found out that he was getting ready to take my people somewhere that they didn't need to go, I couldn't take him there.
But I told you guys, I voted for him in 08. Hold on, Marilyn.
Okay. Go ahead, Stanley.
Yes, first of all, the video or whatever you played before that was talking about how to resolve the issue, I wish you could invite that person because I think that what he said, group economic and first level, second level, third level, that was great. I've listened to it before. I wish you could invite him. And I truly believe, like he said, that if black people would do that, a lot of things would change. You know, we need to go back to economic strength. We don't have economic strength. We don't. We all depend on having a job instead of depending on owning a business. And I'm sorry to say, as a black person who owns a business, and I've said it before and to collaborate, I have more white people supporting my business and bringing money compared to black people who will be ready to say, oh, you're a brother, you should give it for free. Oh, you're a brother, you should give it for 15%.
Oh, you're right, Stan. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
so I
have
more black people saying, when I tell them the price of whatever they need to do, they look at me and say, please. They don't have the same respect as well. And that's the thing that I hope black people, we have to get over. When you're going to somebody as a business, don't accept charity. And that's a mentality I don't get.
Stanley, I'll fix a whole lot of computers for free, brother. I know what you mean.
I've done that too.
And then, you know, give me a little step. Give me a little love. You may not be able to pay full price for the price that I have, but I'll work with you if you work with me. But the question is, will you work with me?
Yeah, but they don't want to work. They want it for almost free, or they want it like they say, oh, it's a little problem, and then you find out it's a huge problem, and you're like, really? And then they're like, well, you should numb that.
Stanley? Now you're starting to understand what we're saying, because what we're trying to say is, what kind of mindset does that?
I don't understand that mindset, Jeff.
Okay, I know you don't but I'm gonna tell you, the mindset that does that is a mindset that thinks they're owed something and they should get something, that somebody needs to hand them something, and that's what we've become in this country because we've been conditioned to think that way. That's what I said. After 64, you had no black businesses left anymore by the time 1970 rolled around. Very few, because you went out and started buying in the malls and in stores out in the suburbs and these things like that, thinking you're getting better.
What's wrong with that?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it.
But let me just add, what Stanley's doing is what people should be practicing, and not just group economics, but capitalism. He says most of his customers are not black. That's great. We should celebrate that, because other people are saying to Stanley, "Oh, we're gonna do business with you, even though you're black." So they're not discriminating. They're not practicing group economics. What if all of a sudden Stanley's customers said, "All of us were just gonna practice group economics"? Now Stanley just has to go get black people.
Your mistake was believing that all white people were prejudiced in the first place. Your mistake is believing again that just conservative white folks are guilty and they don't like you. And right in your own party, you got folks that's killing you off by the thousands and hundreds of thousands a year. And you're being a fool.
Dr. Claude Anderson also says, hold on, Eric.
Okay, I'll bring it back.
Listen, I've got seven people on and two people in the studio.
All right.
There are people that are listening, and they're trying to decipher the voices and what they hear. You're going to have to stop just stepping all over people. It's just not nice. And so that we can have, because people want to hear what we have to say. They really do. But we have to be cognizant of what we're saying and make sure we do it in a good manner. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right.
Hello?
Did she just say Maryland?
Hello, she just said
Maryland? She said I step over people?
No, she didn't say Maryland. She just said that we're all stepping over people.
Oh, in general. When we come back up, I want to let her know that Dr. Claude Anderson can't stand conservatives. He said the conservative attitude, but see, the reason why he doesn't debate, because he has some flaws, because his foundation is just contradictory, because all of us is going to have, even we saw group economics, when you talk about politics and laws and procedures, taxes, you're still dealing with 70% of this country is Caucasian. So every culture is going to affect another culture. That's just a fact. But he says someone who's a conservative, they want to keep what they want. They want to stay in their old ways. They want to conserve. They want to keep. He has problem with conservatives. You have to conserve. Why would he have to conserve?
Here's a problem.
Why would he have to do that?
I mean, he works for Bill Clinton. I mean, he's more of a liberal type of guy. I mean, he talks conservative economics, but he doesn't like the conservative type of politics.
Whether you're liberal or conservative, you can be as liberal as you come. You are not going to disagree with what he is saying, especially when you live in the community and you're dealing with the situation. You're going to get it. You're going to understand, look, something has to change here. Something has to be done. So he can still be as liberal as they come and still have that mindset and just like conservative.
Well, to say black people don't have no power, that's wrong. First of all, we have spending power. We're going to spend almost $1.3 trillion estimated 2017 in all of entertainment, basketball, tennis shoes, all that. Everything has to do with entertainment. That's a lot of spending power. And I agree with him. We have to redirect, but we don't manufacture anything.
Here's my problem, okay?
There's
a black-owned hair care store less than a half a mile from me. I would love to go in there and spend my money there because it's the only black-owned store in a very white area that I live in. She never has anything that I need. So why am I going to spend my money there if I go there and you don't have the product that I need?
Because it's called stakeholders. In any business school, they will tell you it's called stakeholders. Some people give, like for instance, I may be dealing with a stakeholder or supplier. Somebody else may be dealing with it. He may be getting the hookup. I can't get the hookup. He may get it cheaper, or he may have the money to buy more bulk than I can. On his startup, he got more money to buy more bulk or more advertising dollars.
But like these
and more,
saying,
you know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. Somebody might have a – the one thing that I've learned from – what's his name? The guy, the drug dealer who sold Blue Magic, whatever his name is. They even made a movie out of it. Frank something, okay? He went above and beyond whoever he was dealing with to get what he needed at the price that he wanted it for. Black people may always say, oh, I can't. But you can because guess what? Green talks. Green talks more so than your skin color when it comes down to it. So if you know somebody needs something and that's – because I'm like, you're selling black hair – you're selling black hair care products, but you're not selling the actual good stuff. You're selling this cheap all the stuff that is just going to hurt my hair more so than help it. So I'm not going to spend there.
Well, me personally, I would want – right, I know some people target a certain group, individual, like, you know, if you want to start a black business, you want to sell for black hair products and stuff like that. But some people need to think about more universal products. If you start a black business, you know, you don't necessarily have to sell stuff just for black people. You can start a product that can be universal and then branch out and then say, okay, I can focus on that.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. That makes more sense. But don't sit here and act like, oh, I'm a black business owner. I have a store in the community. I'm trying to help the community, but you're selling nothing that the community wants. Case in point.
Oh, yeah.
My cousin owned a clothing store. Okay, in the middle of the hood. Okay. Now he said he wants to bring a little bit of culture, a little difference to the community, but yet you're charging for a pair of jeans $150, $200. These people are not paying that amount of money for no jeans, especially if it's not a brand. Okay, it may be a brand that somebody in New York might buy. Like I told them, you're trying to sell clothes in Columbus like you're in New York City. First off, you're not selling. Everybody came in. When I was in the store, everybody come in, oh, you ain't got no Rockaware. Oh, you ain't got no Darion. You ain't got no FUBU. You ain't got no Ed Hardy. And he's like, no, I don't want to sell that type of stuff. Okay, then you take your business elsewhere and go in a market that's going to buy that. He went out of business because he got upset because he felt like he was black, that black people should support him. I said, we ain't going to support you if you're not giving them what they need, what they want.
Beaver. I went to a black-owned restaurant the other day, ordered a cheeseburger. They told me they had no cheese.
Well, restaurants run out of stuff all the time. I can go to a white restaurant and run out of
stuff. I get that. But the last time I went there, they told me the same thing.
I get it, because, like, how you going to have a chicken store and run out of chicken?
Right.
If you have a chicken store, you run out of chicken fingers. I don't get that. I'm just like, come on, down the hood. You know we black folks like our chicken. You have to make sure you keep up on the order, but that's bad management right there. Yeah, I'm sorry. I would love to support black owned. I see what y'all saying. Like, I would love to, but I'm not just gonna support it because you black and then not be happy with the product. I don't plant my dollars,
You're gonna have to spend more.
Well,
I don't mind spending more for quality because that's how I was taught. You pay for quality. And I don't mind spending more, but you're going to have to give me something. I'm not going to spend money, and then it's happy.
Hey, so that's why the white people went.
Hello? I'm going to say it this way, okay? I spend my money where I spend my money on a product that I want to buy. And if people have a problem with that, too bad. You need to sell what I want. And that's the bottom line.
That's it.
If you're not selling it, if you what happens is they go in, you create your business, and you try and go into a niche market instead of diversifying. You need to diversify. You need to go out there and check out your demographics. You need to have your business plan.
Yes.
You need to have your marketing plan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can't just go out and say, I'm going to start a business.
But I come across a lot of black business owners who feel like that they could just start whatever type of business in the community and that black people should support them just because they're black. I have come across
the mentality
of black buyers who feel like they need to get some free or discount just because we're black.
Listen, yeah, but see, if I wanted to be a black business owner and sell some Seattle and Denver Super Bowl jerseys, authentic NFL, on the streets of New York, and I'd be legit, well, I'm gonna get cut by this imitation stuff that they just caught coming from China. And see, it's manufacturing cheap labor over there, right?
But why wouldn't you?
To be fair, but then they bring the imitations in here, and then now he's on the corner. I'm selling my. Huh?
But why wouldn't you sell the imitations?
The farmers who live in there, the connections.
But listen.
Because I'm saying I'm selling the imitation
if you're selling it on the street.
Because I want to be legit. Hold up. They just quoted it. It's not right. And I'm just saying, you see how
here's
cheap labor. I'm giving you a perfect example, bro. Out of cheap labor, we don't manufacture.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 7 minutes after the hour, and it is the 31st of January. They're not letting me have a quiet, slow, non-combative, you know, kick it, talk about music, talk about the weather, talk about the football game. No, they don't want to do that. They just want to talk about... I was talking about stuff that's just off the charts. I'm trying to listen to this. This is how you should be thinking on Friday. See, we used to have a bonfire. Beautiful football game.
Okay.
And play this at the trunk of the car because, the music was in the trunk. And there wasn't no boom boxes. That's just where the speakers were, that were in the manufacturer. You open up the trunk, and that's where the music came out of. That's how you did it. And, we would just be out just kicking it. And that's how you live. What?
My band does boogie nights. We do boogie nights. Dance with boogie, get down.
But do you do this one?
I want to do this one. Groove line. On a
trip, ain't no seats. All we got,
dancing feet.
Hi.
I ain't got no falsetto on this one.
Speaking of which, did you guys watch the American Idol this week? Anytime? When Sugar Hill, the daughter from Sugar Hill Gang,
the daughter who can't sing, but she made anyway because who her daddy is.
You saw that too. See, there you. Thank you very much, Diva. Because I was like, she did not need to be there.
Is she the one that had issues?
No, she didn't have issues. Just couldn't sing.
There was this one girl,
but they were so happy to meet her daddy. They passed her on, and she's going to Hollywood.
Is that a hip, a hop, a hip, a hip, a hip, a hip, hip hopper? Yeah, don't
she
stop.
Was so happy to meet him. What was his name, Diva?
Whoa.
Wonder Mike.
Wonder Mike,
Jeff,
and I'd like to say hello.
No, Wonder Mike was on TV. J-Lo was enamored by meeting Wonder Mike. And then the girl auditioned, and they let her go through because Wonder Mike came and shook hands.
To the red, to the pink.
Hold on, Tracy.
The purple,
but did you see their faces? Did you you see their faces, Tracy, when she started singing?
Yeah. She couldn't
sing. You know, they wanted to say, oh, she can't sing.
She couldn't sing. And they put her through.
I like the people on.
See, but she might.
On
I think if
American
she takes some lessons, she could have been all right. But she was not ready for Idol.
No, she. They're not going to put her through too far. But they were just happy to see Wonder Mike.
I like American Idol people.
I like Keith Urban and I like Harry Connick Jr. Harry Connick Jr. is he a bad boy.
Isn't he funny? Isn't he awesome?
They're all good.
I have the biggest crush on Harry Connick Jr. I don't care for his music, but I have the biggest crush.
He's a great singer. Harry Connick Jr. is a great singer.
He's more of a jazz blues singer. I'm not into blues and jazz.
Oh, well. You're wrong with you.
I want to hear, you know, I love
I like him better
Bobby Caldwell.
I get to do Bobby Caldwell tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
When do we get to bring up Bobby Caldwell in the flesh to Ohio?
I don't know, Tracy, I forgot to tell you.
What?
Did you hear about the Steelers cruise in March?
Oh, God.
Where are we going?
They're going to the Bahamas. Well, we're going to the Bahamas with Antonio Brown, Hines Ward, and I don't know the other ones.
Let's see. Hold on now. I like Hines Ward. Is the coach and his family going?
No. I'm going by myself because the guy I'm dating, he's a Cleveland Browns fan. So I have to go by myself, and I have to pay double occupancy. This is my first cruise, and I did not realize that if
I
go by myself, I had to pay.
Diva.
What?
Now, I'm sorry he's a Browns fan, but
shouldn't you be doing double rooms anyhow?
Step on by.
We could have done double rooms, we could have done different rooms, but it would just been easier if he would have went, and he could have brought maybe some friends, and we all could have just pitched in, and everybody I know doesn't want to go on the Steelers cruise.
Diva.
Most everybody knows.
Step on by. Can I give you the month that you don't realize it?
Never mind.
I'm going to bring you a because
you done done
clear.
This twice now. Hey, you done this twice.
Oh, never mind.
You like packages instead of substance.
I don't like packages. Trust me. Anybody who knows me,
I
saw the picture.
Knows. Packages have nothing to do with anything for me.
Can we do this? Okay, let's go back to somewhere else. South Carolina, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, the sun is out, the snow is melting, and the temperature is rising. I'm happy.
I said, how are you doing? I did not ask you for the weather report.
How warm is it?
Oh, Diva's gonna ask you how warm it is.
Alabama says like 50 degrees or something down there.
Yeah, South Carolina's in a different place. Alabama's actually in Alabama right now.
So how warm is it in South Carolina?
About 40 degrees. We're a little bit farther north than Alabama, and
I know what a map looks like. I know how far out.
Okay, go ahead. Finish South Carolina. I tell them don't talk on each other. What do they do?
We didn't get as much ice as they did down in Alabama and in Georgia. So we're kind of enjoying the thaw now. But they're still having some issues down there. They had a lot of issues because they were not ready, and the storm moved so fast that they just couldn't handle it. And while the mayor's getting blamed, the governor's getting blamed. So, I mean, it's like a Ray Nagin situation now.
But can I ask, I got a good question, and I want somebody to answer this. Do you guys blame the mayor of Atlanta and the governor down there for what happened?
Is it really,
could they have really done too much more than that? They may have handled
the
PR wrong.
Tracy,
if you looked at the way that storm came in, because now the weather report did say Atlanta was going to get a dusting, okay? And they were going off the National Weather Report, and that was what happened. They did not get a dusting. It was kind of like a whole bunch of things happening at one time. We people in the South, when we start seeing snow or hear about snow and sleet and ice, we head straight to the grocery store. But in a big city like Atlanta, everybody go to the grocery store one time, or everybody leaves work at one time. They clogged up the highways. The salt trucks couldn't get through. So where the ice landed, that's where it stayed, and people just, you know, people just couldn't maneuver around it. Now, my brother, he went to work. He left work at 6 o'clock in the evening. He didn't get home till 9 o'clock the next morning. And
woo!
he's only like 45 minutes from where, you know, from where he works out of the airport. So it was just that
you
bad.
Know, I don't like getting stuck in traffic on a sunny day when it's cool outside with the air conditioner going. Let alone in the snow, that would be a terrible ride. Being stuck in that kind of traffic that long in the wintertime, that would be a horrible, horrible experience.
I got 2 blocks more to go now.
But yeah, but what Jeff said the other day, though, Tracy, I find it to be very true because people drive like crazy up north, like up in Boston, you know, in the snow. They drive because they're used to it. Let it rain, and traffic comes to a standstill.
Look, you know, LA was the same way. Rain was like ice. I mean, even here when the weather first changes, as Stick said the other day, people just keep on going like they can go 70 miles an hour. And I think Jeff was the one who said the other day that just because you got an SUV, you think that you can, you know, you don't slide on ice.
On ice, that's right. They think you don't slide.
Yeah.
And you better have good shoes, and I can attest to that.
Hey, I got to give it to you, Trace. You do pretty good.
I do all right.
Yeah.
Tracy, I had to mute
good
my
driver.
Mic a few minutes ago, and I listened to Wanda Mike's daughter audition. She should not be going to Hollywood. She should not be going to Hollywood.
She was bad.
I'm sorry.
It was like, ooh.
That's horrible.
Jeff, have you seen it?
I didn't see that one. I saw this other girl that looked like she had mental problems.
I'll put it to you this way. I'll put it to you this way, Jeff. She sings like Tracy.
She's worse than me.
Tracy really could sing.
Oh, no, Tracy, she was worse than me. It was bad.
Tracy could sing, but she, you know, if you don't do it, you know, you don't feel confident in it yourself.
Y'all won't let me sing.
Yeah.
So y'all give me a mic.
Now she's a gospel singer now.
They won't give me a mic.
Oh, okay.
You give me a mic, I'll show you something.
Tracy on the mic.
Well, you got
give
a mic right now, Tracy. Why don't you bust out somewhere over the rainbow real quick?
No. I gotta have an audience. You gotta have the audience.
Hit that applause button. You'll think you had an audience. Just
no.
Close your eyes. Hit the applause button and start singing.
No. I gotta. I gotta have an audience. I either gotta be in the car, in the shower, or have an audience.
Mm-hmm.
No audience, you can't get it out of me.
Uh-oh, they tripping because Australia is killing sharks.
Hey, I want to know one more other thing. Are you guys gonna watch the Super Bowl this weekend?
No.
I sure am.
Sure
am.
Oh, Broncos!
Broncos!
Broncos gonna win 34-24.
I'm not watching it, but I'm rooting for Seattle because they have the deaf linebacker, I believe, fullback, whatever he is.
Yeah, huh? How does that work?
Huh?
He reads lips.
Yeah, he's deaf.
Very well.
No, I'm just saying, how does that work on the calling of the calls? Is he always offside?
No, he reads.
Mike going to get y'all. You know he's listening to Mike.
Why am I like this today, Trey?
Y'all better, Mike gonna get y'all.
I have not touched the chocolate at all. And I don't even know. It just must be the spirit of the thing.
Mike gonna get y'all for messing with the people. Now I'm rooting for the Seahawks because the guy, who was the guy who went off on the reporter last week?
Sanders.
Sherman.
Yeah.
Sherman.
I'm
Sherman.
A fan now. I'm a fan of Sherman now.
The guy from and he's a smart guy.
I'm a fan of him.
You know, he's a really, really smart guy.
I'm a fan
and
of him.
And they
yeah.
were dogging him. They called him all kinds of N-words. And,
Yeah, they called him thugs.
I like that he
yeah.
put him in, if you put him in check, when he said, them calling me a thug is just their way, another way of them calling him the N-word.
No. That's not true.
Well,
he
used
the N-word
himself.
That's not true.
Well,
he
used
the
N-word
himself.
He felt.
That's
he
why they call him a thug.
They were calling him that.
He injected race into that. That had nothing to do with it.
Yes, it did.
What are you talking about? Did you read his Twitter messages?
Wait a minute. I got a friend, and he's a white guy. And he said, Tracy, he said, I have to say this. If he had been a white man, it may not have had the impact on me as well as everyone else. He said, but because he was a black man, and when he went and he seemed to be attacking that white reporter, I can say that did have some bearing on my judgment.
Absolutely.
He
attacked a white reporter. He wasn't attacking her.
No, he wasn't. But that's how
it appeared.
They took it.
He asked him a question.
And Tracy, whoever looks at that, like, I'm sorry, they have a mental problem, Tracy. How could someone say that she was asking him a question and he was directing it towards, and what he said, L-O-B, he was saying a little street terminology because, listen, he is what he is. He is an A student from Stanford. He majored in communication. He knows how to speak. He has very good etiquette. But he caught him in a moment, and he's going to be who he is. And, he wasn't attacking her.
I did not say Marilyn, I did not say he attacked her. I said it gave off the imaging. Imaging, your eyes see, your ears hear sometimes what your brain does not compute. He was not personally attacking her, but he was going off, and it was asked, and he was talking to her, even though he was talking to someone else.
No, he wasn't. He was talking to the camera and to the world. He wasn't talking to her as a reporter.
Okay, now let me tell you something, dog. This is what you don't understand. Listen, this is what you don't understand about American society. This is where it seems as though all Caucasian people can be racist, and that is an aggressive young black man is seen as a radical, is seen as, what other word can I use here, Tracy? It seemed as
violent,
can seem very violent. He's not being violent. He was just expressing himself, but because of
the
how
passion he
did. Yeah, the passion he used.
Just like a WWE wrestler would do.
It was not WWEF. It was football, and you have to understand they were not expecting that kind of personality out of him. Hold on, just a second. 440, your mic is on. Hold on, Diva.
Yeah, you know,
be yourself.
You know,
be someone important.
Go ahead.
It wasn't
so much
what it wasn't so much what he said, all right? He's supposed to be talking to her. If he's got an issue with the other player, go find the other player. To him directly. That's my take on it. You know,
he's
not part of that banner between him and the other guy. You know, she asked him a question, you know. Talk respectfully, with some respect.
No, mutual
respect. You know, don't go off like that.
Don't you think that was bad timing?
Then he should have walked away from her and say, I can't talk right now.
Let me tell you. You're talking about a team.
You don't go screaming like that.
Yes, you do, and this is why.
No,
you don't. You remember Muhammad Ali?
Yeah.
You tell that bear, I'm going to come after him, and I'm going to whoop him. And I'm a pretty man, but I'm going to whoop him.
This was done for money. This guy, it had nothing to do with money. He was trying to tell the other guy that he was all that in the bag of chips.
That's
what
he
said. Let me
say this. You got to also understand, we don't know. There's a lot of talking that goes on in the field, from my understanding. They tell me there's a lot of wolf tickets being sold out on the field when they're playing.
That's why fights be breaking up.
NFL film knows.
And it was real intense.
NFL film knows. They were mic'd. They got the audio.
440. I understood exactly what he was doing. Why you think you feel a certain way about it and
he
I don't?
Control his, he can't control
his
emotions.
He
game's over.
Yes,
what?
He could.
Well, he didn't.
He wasn't trying to. You don't understand
something. Screaming at that.
No. Listen. I'm not a white man. I do stuff like black people do because I'm a black man. Okay? Black people, when they're competing, they compete very vociferously. And there's
Terry back in the day.
You're not competing. You're talking to somebody. The game is
over. Let me say it this way. The game was over, but the adrenaline that's still running through your veins is still there. But let me also say this. Culturally, we have to recognize that there are certain people. I will be in a conversation with someone, and they will think that I am yelling at them, and I'm just passionate about what I'm saying.
Because
it does make a difference. So I have to adapt to people because they may take me the wrong way because they will really think that I am mad at them and or attacking them just by my fierceness of the tone of my voice. And so that plays into it also. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that what he did, it was not the best way to handle it.
Right.
But I think the imaging, because if he had been a white man, I don't think the conversation would be the same as it is today. And that's what I said.
Yeah,
because he was a black man, it does make a difference.
If it was Jack Lambert or if it was somebody like Richie Incognito, I think you're wrong. They would have taken it the same way.
No, but see, if it was Richie Incognito before Martin, it would have been taken differently. If it was after Martin, it would be taken as bullying.
I think that any time that you act like out of control like that, I don't know. I have a problem with that. It has nothing to do with black or white for me. If you can't maintain any self-control when you're talking with somebody, you have a problem.
But what I'm saying to you is you have to go out and talk to a football player and somebody who is pumped on adrenaline. For those guys are crazy as it is to go out and let a grown man who's 250 pounds come and pound you in the head full force and you guys are hitting each other. So they're already nuts. We know that. And it takes a whole lot of something to do that.
Yeah. So if your brain is probably pounded into mush, then you're probably not seeing things
and
clearly.
It wasn't pounded into mush. It was just the tone that he did.
It's the tone he did. And the thing is, like I said, you have to see this in black and white because I'm not you. I don't dance like you. I don't sing like you. I don't talk like you. And I don't conduct myself like you. I'm different. And not only that, if you want to find fault with somebody, then you find fault with the culture that have always made black people fight each other. He was saying to his people, he looked in the camera and said, and such, I am this, I did this, blah, blah, blah. I am the greatest. That's what he was saying. He was not out of control. Wait a minute. He wasn't out of control. He was very much in control.
What did she ask him?
Doesn't matter.
I don't remember. She
asked her a question. She asked him a question.
I don't think he cared about the question. I think he just wanted to get something off his chest, and he used that moment to do it.
He should have gone to the guy who's got the game. Have you ever played football?
Did you see the clip what happened while they were playing? He went up to the guy in the middle of after a play, slapped him on the butt, put his hand out, said, "It's a great game, ain't it?" The dude mushed him in his face.
No,
because then they could have broke out. So he did what he did. The next best thing he could have done, he spewed his anger into a camera at the guy, letting everybody know, hey, I'm better than you. I'm the greatest. That's
and
what he was saying. I'm like, I don't see how taking this any other type of way.
And actually, it's going to help. It's going to help ratings on Sunday.
Not only on Sunday, but wait till next year when those two teams meet again, possibly.
Exactly.
You're going to have a rivalry going on, and that's what it was about. The man played it. The man graduated with a freaking 4.2 average. Let's stop this crazy.
From Stanford.
Let's not think that this man is stupid. This man is not stupid. He's not a dumb guy.
He's not out of control. I don't think this was done in a way that I think there was more to it. Now that's my personal opinion.
Well, of course. But this is why people think that white people are racist, because they don't understand and they don't try to understand what somebody else's culture will do in a situation. They expect everybody to be cookie cutter and act like white folks. And everybody ain't going to act like white folks all the time.
That's
just not going
to
happen.
If you ask me.
It's a loss of control, but here's the thing. Tell him he lost control and that he will lose control because he'll start whipping your behind because of you being stupid about it.
When he's talking to a woman, he wasn't talking to a woman.
She's a reporter in a very. She was reporting in a very, very contentious, a high performance, a very a high contact sport.
We understand that.
She understands completely what comes with that territory. He wasn't talking to her. He wasn't berating her. He wasn't just being nasty, ignorant towards her. She understands that these are what players do. That's how they act. I'm pretty sure she's been around and her
She wasn't ready for that because her face, she looked like she was going to run.
She
was caught off guard. But again, as I said, a friend of mine said, if it had been a white man, he may have looked at it differently.
Now, was this woman was Caucasian?
Yes,
right?
She was.
That's why she reacted like she did. Because if it had been one of the black girls, she wouldn't have reacted like that. Because she would have understood exactly what he was doing. Plain and simple. Yeah,
look at the disparity between white athletes.
Wait, dog. Let me make a statement, South Carolina. This is why black folks think you are prejudiced. I'm telling you how I am, and you are saying no. And I say screw you, because I'm trying to tell you the truth, and you won't listen. And that's the dumbness of not wanting to get along. I understand how white folks wouldn't do something like that.
Hold on, South Carolina, go ahead.
Here's the issue. That can be said about black folks when they listen to and see white folks' reaction too.
You get a mass killer, they'll put him. They'll try to let him go, but you get Michael Vick who fought some dogs. He goes to prison, and somebody that kills kids or anything like that doesn't get prison time. What kind of sense does that make?
What about Ray Lewis?
Hold on, guys. What did you say, 440?
What about Ray Lewis? He got away with murder. He walked. He didn't even go to trial.
They all know that he did that. Everybody knows that. They thought his bodyguard did that.
It's different. It's different.
Can I ask you a question? But how about, let me ask you, and I'm being very, very, very candid with this. How about the hundreds of black men who went to prison who never did anything?
I don't know that. I don't know.
No, sweetheart. No, 440. Hold on. Listen.
And how do
you
know that?
440. There may have been a thousand. There may have been thousands of black men that went to that. Let me put it this way. Until you understand the racism in this country, and as black people, we have always been guilty until we actually prove our innocence, no matter where we go. And until you understand that and acknowledge that, because when you see my face and you say that I did something, you automatically assume that I did what they said I did, because we have been conditioned in America to believe that. And there are thousands of men over the years and women. And I think just for some light TV watching over the weekend, or and you get a chance, you should watch the movie called The Help. You have to understand the position that people put people in.
I mean it.
And what happens is what has happened over the years. There have been hundreds and thousands of men and women who have gone into the penal system for rape, that they did not rape anybody, for stealing, and they did not steal anything, just because a white man wanted them to go to jail, and they went. And they had no, everybody was on the same side.
Now let me ask you this. What am I supposed to think when I can turn on my computer and go to the internet, and every day, across this nation, I can see a young black man playing the knockout game, and it's always towards a white person.
Can I say this,
old,
to you? What
old,
are you supposed
old,
to hold on?
Old people, hold. You know what? Not even against another white guy. It's always.
But let me say this. You are. And listen, what are you supposed to say, and what are you supposed to think? One, it's bad. It's wrong. That's what you think. It is wrong. But you have to understand how society, how America has played into the manifestation of what we see with the anger of white people. And see, this is where my friends and I and my white friends don't get along in conversation with this. You have to understand we have conditioned to pit people against one another. It's like a dog fight. America has done this over and over and over again so that you and I do not get along.
You know, I listen to this every day, though, on your radio station. I'm hearing it's Whitey's fault for this. It's Whitey's fault.
I didn't know
that.
That's what you just
said.
Hold on.
And I hear that every day.
Come on,
440.
That's not what you hear.
That's what I hear.
No, what I said to you was, you have to take some responsibility, just like I have to take some responsibility.
Well, exactly.
You have never heard me say that it was not my own responsibility to stand on my own two feet. You have not ever heard me say that.
No,
but you
not
have
you.
Heard me say.
Not you. Not
but,
you.
Listen, but I am the host of the show. And what I'm trying to do is clarify and unify a group of people that have been divided over the years. And so that you can see that we have to take some ownership of this.
But I'm saying a lot of your callers, and I hear it every day, I feel like it's, you know, not just me, but other guys that I know, it feels like it's pinned on our back constantly. We're reminded about it. Every day, because
a lot of times, if you don't hear it every day, you'll forget. Because until you actually have an open conversation, people are race baiting every day. And until you learn the difference between race baiting and racism, prejudice, and actually we're going to do a series in February on prejudice, racism, bigotry. So that you know the difference, because there is a difference between racism, the difference between racism, bigotry, and prejudice. And we need to understand that, not only on white people's side, but on black people's side too. It's real. But when we're talking about this guy who plays for the Seattle Seahawks, I was talking to a friend, and he said, Tracy, if he had been white, I would have looked at it differently. You gotta ask yourself, and you gotta change the paint.
I don't see it that way. No matter who that was, I don't care if it was purple. If you act that way, you're not acting. I don't think it's ill-mannered to me.
It is ill-mannered. Don't get me wrong. This is not about manners, and I'm not trying to justify what he did. No, I'm not trying to justify what he did.
When you act like that, that means you're not showing any respect for the person that you're talking to.
But again,
just asked him a question. You know, and I'm sorry, but that's the way I look at it. And
so
I
can I ask you a question?
Black or white?
Did you receive his apology when he said it? Because he came out and apologized for his action.
He didn't have to apologize to me. It should be to her. And
he apologized to her? No, he apologized to her. He apologized to the public. Do you look at him the same way with his apology?
It's over with. I just made a statement that I thought it was ill-mannered. You know,
yes, South Carolina.
It's not a judgment on him. I don't expect him to go to jail for it or anything. I just thought it was poor manners.
I heard his apology.
Yes?
I heard his apology, and I could accept his apology until he made the comment about thugs. And I'm like, man, why did you have to? You
because
were doing
it was
fine.
Exactly
why did you have
true.
To go there like
oh,
that?
I think he should have gone there like that because that's exactly why they called him that. They don't realize what that man has accomplished and what he is. He's not a thug. They wanted to call him that because that's what people, like I said, on the other side of things, think about an aggressive black man.
Let me ask you this. If he was white, would they have called him a thug?
I would have
no.
called him a thug.
Oh, they wouldn't have.
No, he wouldn't have called him a thug.
You wouldn't have called him a thug. I don't ever remember them calling too many white folks thugs. Do you?
Not too many white folks acting like that on TV.
Can I say something? When you look at the inequality of how black
incognito a thug.
Exactly. Oops. That story went away very quickly.
No, it's back in the news. We're going to touch that on Monday. But incognito, they didn't
call
him a thug.
If you look at the disparity of treatment between black and white players, look at as much as I love my Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger. When you look at what happened with Ben Roethlisberger and Kobe Bryant. That's a shame. Ben Roethlisberger has 3 accusations against him. You don't really hear too much about that. They swept that under the rug. Kobe had to actually go through a process to deal with what he dealt with. Michael Vick all he did was give his cousin some money, and his cousin did what he did with the dogs. He didn't even fight the dogs. He had nothing to do with it. He just gave him the money. And he went to jail. Plaxico Burress, was that the one? That's the guy shot himself with his own gun.
Right.
Come on, now you have to see. We have to be real about this. How these black athletes are treated in comparison to white athletes. You have the Birdman, the guy who played on the team with the Miami Heat or against Miami Heat. They said he is the meanest basketball player there is. They don't call him a thug. I never heard him being called a thug, and he gets very aggressive on the court and off the court. Dude got charges that is ridiculous, but you don't hear too much about that.
Go ahead, 440.
Yes, as far as Ben Roethlisberger, I can't address that. Every one of my friends, and we're all football fans, we all think he should be in jail. Every last one of us. He
News
should
media
be
doesn't.
In jail. Huh?
News media
News
doesn't.
Don't.
Well, the NFL, he's a star. So is Ray
Lewis.
So
the other guy.
Like, Vic was a star, too.
But
yeah,
I'm saying,
see how that went.
Ben Roethlisberger, you can't say that.
Kobe Bryant was a star.
White people
Kobe
in general
still
don't
a star.
Think that he should go to jail. I think he should be in jail for a long time. There's no doubt.
Who?
What he did. Ben Roethlisberger should fit in jail.
But you got to understand. But look at how it's viewed. You follow where we're going now?
It's viewed by that way by you. I'm saying,
Mike Vick,
most of my friends are white. They'll tell you he should be in jail.
Why isn't he in jail then? Why didn't he go through the same process Kobe Bryant went through?
It's not
Kobe
about
Bryant
control.
Kobe Bryant had one accusation.
He should be in jail too.
Why didn't he even go through the process? They didn't press charges on Ben Roethlisberger. And I love Ben. I love him. I still have his jersey. But why didn't he go through the process? Like Kobe Bryant went through. And this ain't even about whether I like him or not.
Kobe Bryant, listen, you got to understand, Kobe Bryant is not, you know, Kobe Bryant was just stupid. So they had to go through the process because of what happened. But Roethlisberger gets a pass every time. The question is, look at how it's viewed by the masses. And 440, you may feel that way, but the masses don't.
Nope.
Yes, they
so you
do.
May feel as
all
though
my friends
he,
feel
no.
that
no,
they should be in jail.
Yes, South Carolina. Tracy. Yeah.
Okay, I listened to, you know, the apology from the head of MSNBC concerning the Cheerios commercial.
Right.
I believe that's been brought up. And I understand one thing. Who controls the media?
It ain't you.
Who controls the media? And it's definitely not somebody that looks like me. But it's the same type scenario. If you're saying that the person gets a pass, a white person gets a pass, and a black person gets hell, then you should look at who's controlling the media and how they play it out.
And that
Michael
goes back
Vick,
to what we played earlier.
Michael Vick upset PETA. He upset PETA. So that agenda was what they were going to get him, period. They were going to get
him.
He's an
example.
But okay? Nobody was upset that three women got raped by Raplessberger. And see, and then he never even gets detained and questioned at the police station, one. But Mike Vick not only gets that far for fighting dogs.
Which is a cult.
Raplessberger shoots himself.
You get more time for buggery than you do for rape. And for those that don't know what buggery is.
Yeah, but he wasn't buggering. He wasn't screwing dogs. He was only fighting them.
He wasn't even fighting them. He was just money man. That's it.
I've got some private call. A private caller, your mic is on.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I don't believe the caller at all. I don't believe he got no black friends. If you listen to your radio show, and he says that's all you talk about every time your show come on, he's a liar. And he don't have no truth
say
in
what?
Him.
Say what now?
Not you, South Carolina. He's talking
not
about
you, South Carolina.
He's talking about four worlds.
The person who calls in and said he listened to Tracy's show and that's all she talks about is black and white, he's a liar. She's far from that.
Thank you. Hey, Mike, not so blind Mike, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, I'm just listening.
Hey, did
to
you
this.
Hear? I got
to
tell you, Jeff said something really bad earlier.
I heard.
And you should
I
beat
heard.
Him. Oh.
No. But that gives me one thug and two N-words someday.
No. No, Mike. No.
I got to get out of jail free card.
Hey. You, don't do that.
The only
don't
reason why we allow you
to
say that.
I'm teasing. I didn't
oh, my
God.
Mike,
don't do that because you'll never see me coming.
But at least you're
hey, Mike, what do you got to say?
He can hear you. He can hear you. That guy excellent hearing. He'll hear you coming.
Yeah, that's true, Jeff.
That's true.
Yeah.
What you got to say, Mike? Because I got to pick up a 314.
Yeah, all I was going to just say was, until this controversy about the word thug, I never associated the word thug with color. To me, and remember, I'm raised Catholic Italian heritage. Thugs to me were the guys that took baseball bats and busted your cars when you owed them money. But I always equated that to gang activity. I never equated that to any race. But the only thing is, I'm hearing about all the only injustice that I do take issue with Devon is the black athlete who shot himself with a gun. That darn Sullivan law in Connecticut. I know white people who've gone to jail for 3 years because they crossed the state line from Connecticut to New York and got caught with a gun in their pocket. So I don't think because he was a black athlete they got him as much as he broke that darn Sullivan law. But
he
the other thing
have
you
one.
Talk about Vic and everybody else, I agree with you on all those other ones. But that one guy who shot himself, yeah, he shot himself. That was kind of bad. But it's that darn Sullivan law in New York. They take it very seriously, and I've heard plenty of white people go down for 2-3 years in jail under that law.
I think it's just because he was
314. 314, your mic is on. Hmm.
Pionki, go ahead.
You talk about the incident with the defensive end. If they didn't have so many white female interviewers on these sports programs, if that had been a black woman, she would have just went on right with the floor and got down to business.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about that ambiguous and the what do you want to call it, the arrogance that you see among white males around the world, especially when, you know, things are changing, tides are changing for them. You know, by the way, another thing, population at Stanford University is only 30% white. So whites are being kicked out of that elite school because they just can't compete academically. But I just put a link in the chat room where Al Gore is at it again, making statements about the population of Africa, complaining that by the end of the century, African population would be more than India and China combined.
Did he not say you almost need to kill them off?
And I want to ask that caller, what is it that why are you white males so nervous when you begin to hear stories about how black populations will triple and quadruple yours? And the fact, at the end of this time period, no white nation will rank in the top 20 populations in the world. Why are you so nervous about that?
Why do you ask that question?
Nobody's nervous about that. The only people that are nervous about it is the news media.
Not so, my friend. You never heard of the neo-Nazis? You never heard of the white supremacists? See, they know that they only make up 10.
That's a little group. I'm talking about the masses.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Please understand this. When white people make up 10% of the world population, there's a whole lot of white people that don't care for that. And I'll ask you just one question. Who do you see championing abortion when black people only make up 12-15%, but yet they're killing themselves off at 37.5% of the babies that get aborted are black?
Can I ask a question as an addendum on top
mm-hmm.
of that, Jeff?
Yeah.
If they make up 10% of the population,
mm-hmm.
how much of the wealth?
That's the whole thing. They don't make up any wealth.
Who?
Black folks.
I'm talking about. If white people are going to be 10% of the population in the world.
What
percentage of the wealth will they cut? Because when on the next week we're going to talk about the new woman who's a part of who's going to lead the IMF.
Right.
And I want to talk about her background. Right. And then also the woman who's going to actually take over. She's taking over Bernanke's job.
Yeah.
So there's some stuff that's happening here, and my question is, where are you happening in this? Right now, they're meeting some of the leaders in Africa are actually having a meeting right now as we speak, and they've been meeting all week long to talk about how to turn people of color into an industrious people.
One way to do it is void yourself of the IMF, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, which talks
Bianchi.
Like that are going on.
Bianchi, can you say slavery?
You know, Jeff, if I was there with you, I'd buy you lunch today.
Well, see, this is what we've been saying.
Unless you talk to me about the Bible.
But you're already slaves.
Yeah, you're slaves now, and you vote. You vote to be slaves primarily in this country if you're black because you vote Democrat.
We're almost done, and I love you guys, and we'll be back on Monday. This is Super Bowl weekend, so please be careful. Do not drink and drive.
Right.
Please do not do that. But I want to say this. You know, if you don't think that you're still free when you're waiting on a government check to come and be your guide, and you got food stamps coming in and EBT cards and you got Social Security checks, and that's the only means of your support in your senior years, and the only education you get is through Head Start and through a public school system, and you don't have any choice. If you don't think that that's not an enslavement, then you are sadly mistaken.
You're right. Tracy, let me say something. I'm not talking about just any old Democrat person in your area, because I support a lot of the Democrat politicians that are around me and in my town. I have no problem with the mayor of Youngstown, who is a fine person, and I think he's going to make a great mayor. I have no problem. Understand what I'm saying is the hierarchy of the party has a aim because they're owned by the progressives. And those same progressives are encroaching upon the Republican Party as well, which is why we got mealy-mouthed people running against strong Democrats. Barack Obama had nobody to run against twice. Twice. There was no choice because you put somebody in. He's talking about health care. Well, why not put him back in because the other guy created a health care system for another thing. And the conservatives don't want that mess. We don't really want that. We want somebody to vote for. Don't give me Chris Christie. I'm not going to vote for you. Now, I may be wrong, but I'm not voting for Chris Christie.
I have a question for you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Christie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I'm a walk out on this one. Chris Christie, everybody says, I'm not going to vote for him. He's not the guy, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
If you have, no, you can't answer that 5 minutes. I'm asking you a question, Jeff. It was going directly to you.
Okay, go ahead.
Jeff, you don't answer the phone. Just let me see.
Hey,
I'm a thug.
I want a party.
Okay, listen. If Chris Christie has the moral focus of what you say,
mm-hmm.
even though he's going to be more progressive and more centered than you'd like for him to be,
mm-hmm.
you would rather still have Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Ooh.
You know why? Because Hillary Clinton is going to at least be pragmatic. Hillary Clinton is going to be a couple things that she's going to be like Bill, because Bill is going to be advising her.
Watch some doors. About to open with Hillary Clinton.
I won't vote for Hillary Clinton.
So you mean Hillary's gonna have her Monica as well in the Oval Office?
Hey, from what I heard, she just might. You never know.
I want the hierarchy of the party of my party to know that I will not support their mess like this. I don't care about him being what the same as her, because if I'm going to do that, I don't believe in that. I'll leave the party first, because when we start talking about we're for abortion rights and we're for homosexual rights and this, that, and other, I'll leave.
But Christie hasn't said that.
He hasn't said it.
I think
they're moving that direction.
I vote for Johnson. I think I vote for Johnson instead.
They're talking Johnson about bringing Jeb Bush in to the mix.
I told everybody Jeb Bush was going to run. No, everybody call me. Oh, you crazy. He ain't going to run. Yeah, and if you do, he ain't going to win. If he runs, he wins.
He does not win.
He will win.
I think he does. You don't understand
how it works.
I think he does.
He won't win.
He won't win in your community.
He's saying Bush versus Clinton.
You have to understand.
Yeah, Bush, he doesn't have the baggage. He may have the name, but he doesn't have the baggage.
Obama already killed Hillary Clinton when he released the Benghazi thing, and it points right back at her, even though it was his fault.
No, not to you.
Diva, you're a lover, and you're not.
I'm not reading this just from the left standpoint. You also have to think about the middle. The right can't win. Your base is small. Y'all small base. Y'all don't have a very big base.
Do you see 37% only support what the president is doing? Do you see that?
Once again, we're not from President Obama. We are talking about people are disappointed with President Obama, because there are people on the left who are disappointed with President Obama at the moment, because we can't communicate anything to them. We're talking about Hillary Clinton winning a general election over Jeb Bush. You have to remember that we have a base that is in the middle. We have a moderate base.
What about Rand Paul?
And you have to also understand, we had two Bushes already, and the people felt that the two Bushes we had were no good. You think they're going to give a third Bush a chance? Even though he had nothing to do with his father or his brother?
Bush won a second term.
Yeah, George Bush won a second term because we were in the middle of a war. We were in the middle of two wars. We had to deal with Iraq and terrorists and all that other stuff. That's why he won a second term. And then the Democrats didn't really put
up
a good candidate.
The
Democratic base has grown 2008, 2012. It keeps growing. It's a huge
Diva, they kept putting up another Kennedy every time one went down. They put another one up. They'll do the same with the Bushes.
This is not the 1950s, 60s, whatever you want to call it. This is the 21st
century. Well, I ain't voting for no Hillary Clinton under no circumstances.
I'm not saying that I will vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm looking, if Gary Johnson ran, I'm looking to see if...
I did vote for Gary Johnson last time.
I wouldn't vote for Gary Johnson last time.
I voted for him last time.
Media made Gary Johnson into this far-left, far-right conservative. And that's why I couldn't vote for him.
He liked that weed. He don't mind passing that weed. He said he'd make it federal law, marijuana.
I don't smoke weed. But I do like the fact
well,
that
no,
he
I listened to one of his debates. Right, I listened to the third part of the Independents and the Green Party. They had that little debate on C-SPAN. I listened to him, but I didn't really, that one really didn't interest me. So
he reminds I kind of like Ron Paul, but Ron Paul tends to get too far out there, so I can't go on Ron Paul.
And then
but
Ron Paul,
yeah, I know, right. Ron Paul has some good issues. He has some like kind of independent issues.
Gary Johnson puts me in the mind of a safe Ron Paul.
Yeah, but I wouldn't vote for him though.
I don't know if I could vote for Hillary Clinton, but I definitely won't vote for a Republican. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. My ideals and their ideals are just too far in between.
Well, what's
some of your ideas that different from the conservatives?
Well, because whenever they put up someone in leadership, now how Tracy and Jeff talk is completely different how their leadership talk. Their leadership does not really care for safety net programs. That's the first thing they want to cut anytime you have a problem with the budget. And,
well, Democrats want to let me go one-on-one with you. You say that Republicans don't like safety net. They do. They just want to know how you're going to pay for them.
No, that's not true. Because
yes, it is too.
They didn't care about paying for anything under George Bush. And
well,
then,
that was George Bush. We talked about
on,
when they recognized the
now,
statement of George
even
Bush.
Even now, when President Obama is saying, "Look, we're going to pay for certain programs." He believes in that. They still won't go along with it. It ain't got nothing
well,
to do
I've
with
it. Well, I've been watching.
Hello?
I've been watching Democrats longer than you, Diva.
Fine,
and believe
that's fine.
Me,
that's fine with
they
me.
don't pay for it. Boehner said that we would extend unemployment benefits, but how are we going to pay for it?
Hello, can I speak? Hello?
Where are you classes in at?
Who is that, Mace?
Yes, it's me. I want to say something about when it comes to the Republicans talking about paying for something. They ain't never paid for nothing, wanted to pay for nothing until now. That's why we are in the deficit that we're in because of them. If they would have paid for things then, like a war that's on the books,
the only time you've seen.
But you're not entitled to your own facts.
The only time you seen
Republican administration spend like a drunken sailor was doing Bush. That surprised the heck out of me.
Well, that's got to be paid for.
Pardon me?
Don't they have to be paid for? It was on credit card, so somebody got to pay for it. Don't
they? Like I said, Bush was totally abnormal. But most Republican ideas, they come up with, they want to know how you're going to pay for it. And that's only right. Could you and your family go out and get involved into an additional expense without the question arising, how will we pay for it?
But it's easy to figure out how to pay for it. You just find the spending somewhere else. We have you can cut the defense budget. I mean,
They did, Diva, and that's where the veterans got screwed. And they didn't put that
No,
back
you can
last
cut
week.
It without screwing the veterans. Veterans didn't get screwed because the budget got, because of that.
Yes, we did.
There was more to it. By the veterans.
The defense budget has been cut more percentage-wise than any other federal program.
We're not talking about that. We want to know what Reagan did. What he did messed up the country, too.
Reagan's dead. He's dead.
That bill had to be paid for, too.
Reagan agreed to a Martin Luther King holiday.
I'm not talking about no holiday.
That calls money.
That's conservative God. That's dead deity. Reagan is a conservative deity.
Reagan agreed to Martin Luther King holiday, and that costs money because public employees are paid.
Reagan also signed the Earned Income Tax Credit into law.
Conservative
deity. So that's a fact, and it's not no coming off the top of my head. We do economics before the rules. You don't want to talk about what caused the problem. I don't care about neither party, and I'm not voting for no Hillary.
What the hell?
And I'm getting sick of this media keep on trying to push Hillary out there.
So, Diva, you talked about one circuit breaker program. Give me another reason.
What?
I said you mentioned
okay, no,
about.
Let me tell you what. Let me just give you an idea of why I vote the way I vote. For one, I do believe in universal health care. I believe it's a right. I don't believe it's a privilege. I believe every American citizen has the right to life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. And we will achieve that through health. So I believe in universal health care for all, and being free. I just believe in all, a lot of programs that help the unfortunate. And then when it comes to...
All right, well, let's stop before you go on. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I'm going to let you go. Let me address one you've mentioned so far. Life, liberty, and pursuit of healthiness, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is a right, but it's not a guarantee. Go ahead.
For those that want to make it a guarantee.
It's not a guarantee, but it can be better. Everybody can be in a better situation if they don't have to worry about certain things. No one, I'm sorry.
For Diva.
You may not agree.
Here's the problem you run into.
That's fine. There shouldn't really be a debate on whether or not you agree.
I would like to know what is the premise that a record gets a man with people are for them or put money in their pocket. It's a rule of law. That's what it is.
I'm like, every time
I tell unearned income taxes of putting money in people's pockets.
When it comes to the budget, the people at the bottom are expendable. Because how is it you want to keep tax breaks for the richest people at on the top, but yet you don't mind cutting and cutting the people on the bottom?
Here's where the flaw is. When your pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness encroaches on my liberty.
Oh, Lord, here you go. How is someone receiving health care infringes on your right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness?
Because you're asking them to pay for it and take money out of their house.
Take my money.
Spend it the way you want them to.
That's right, Diva. I don't want to take money out of my house.
Well,
let me tell you what. Let me tell you what business is.
My husband wants to stop you from eating cookies and things to cost.
Well, let me tell you what.
Well,
then we as corporations, we will stop contributing to your scholarships. Then
you try.
We will stop contributing to your scholarships.
You pay for that yourself, since no one believes in collectivism.
As I said before, if you want to tax scholarships more than other things, y'all just don't listen either. Do you just talk?
Oh, because the fact of the matter is, Skunky, it's just a debate.
I want to know what you're talking about.
But it should not really be a debate.
As I said before, us corporations would just stop contributing to your scholarship funds. You get out there and have your part-time job to pay for your schooling.
And the government is just stopping to contribute in our money to the corporation.
I tried to go to college.
We're not talking about you in particular. We're talking about your party.
The government stop funding money through the corporations, so the corporations take money from the government too. So they should stop funding money to them so they can
hold up.
That's right.
How does the corporation take money from the government?
Bianchi made a statement. He says that we should pay the college with their part-time jobs. Well, Bianchi, why you conservatives are not worrying about increasing the minimum wage for those part-time jobs so they can pay it? If you're not going to pay them a good hourly wage so they won't qualify for these subsidies that goes on income, you're either going to pay them hourly or you're going to give them subsidies. Bottom line, so it's going to have to trickle down.
Well, they can pay $10 an hour. I mean, that's just going to be more that you're going to pay for your McDonald's hamburger.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
I'm sorry. I worked full-time.
What kind of business do you run? You mean that's to tell truth, me that you right? run a business where your expenditures is greater than your revenue? Huh?
Of course not.
Well, if you raise is not wages a cost of doing business. The cost of doing business is factored in to the little widgets or the units that you're selling to the public.
Right, exactly. How many widgets that I can produce an hour? How many widgets that my employees can produce
an hour? No, not how you can produce an hour. How many you can an hour.
Well, guess what? If I'm producing it, I already got a projection of 7. So you are in the same.
Oh, no,
thing.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
I'm not going to produce, but you've already projected you're going to sell. I'm not going to waste no product and sell like that. I will, because I have a marketing force. I have a sales force.
Yeah, you're not going to produce anything that you have not already projected to be sold.
In 1956, the Ford Motor Company produced 56,000 Edsels. In 6 months, guess how many they only sold?
1956. We're talking about 2000. 21st century.
Wait a minute. We are coming into the spring. Textile companies are already gearing up to start producing winter clothes. Do you not understand how things work?
Exactly.
That's what he's saying. Like, you're not going to produce anything that you have not already put a projection that you have going to sell or basically sold. They go off of what they already
sold.
But they go off of what they sold last year, what they did last year, and then they do numbers and they bring back the figures and project what's going to sell this year. And that's what they produce.
You can predict the weather, you can predict the economy,
and then all of a sudden you're a small business, and then someone says, oh, give me 20,000 widgets. And you say, okay, I can give you 2 weeks. You have a producer.
No, if I produce, let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you how it works.
You'll get a order.
Mike, you ain't never owned no corporate. Let me tell you how it works.
Let me tell you how I base my bids on.
If I done X number at $10 an hour, now I'm forced to do $20 an hour, where do you think I'm going to make the cuts at? Huh?
Okay, but we're talking about productivity. We're talking about...
That's what I'm talking about,
productivity.
Your productivity don't mean anything. You can have a worker that's working his butt off, but what she is producing, if you can't sell it, what good is it?
If you're a good businessman, you could have sold everybody to the state, and you could, and everybody could stay with the company. They're all part of the contract.
So if I pay the worker five dollars an hour, he produced, and we produce 20,000 units. You think that when I pay that worker $20 an hour, we still going to move 20,000 units? And even if we did, even if we raise his price to $20 an hour and he was able to go out and buy the same, what good does it make?
I'm confused because it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is a smart business owner is going to always...
It's like this, Diva. Let me give you an example. Just be quiet for a second, please. Let's be quiet for a second. Your rent is $750 a month. Your hourly pay is $10 a month. We raise your hourly pay to $20 a month, and your rent go up to $1,500 a month. What gains have you made?
None. But what if my raise goes from $10 to $20,
and my rent still stays at $750?
Your rent
is
not going to stay the same. It don't work that way.
When I first started working,
hourly minimum wage was $1.80 an hour. Rent was $65 a month. Now do the math. Where is the minimum hourly wage today? $7.65 or something like that? What is the rent? Average rent. You're not going to gain. You can raise your... Hey, if you want to, raise the minimum wage up to $50 an hour.
The rent in Youngstown has not increased significantly since I don't know how long. And I don't know how long. It's still been the same last year.
What are you doing? What if you're doing the rent? If anything's going up, you're not getting a raise. Then what are you gaining? Nothing?
Hey, Bianchi.
That's what's going on
here. What's happening here is people are showing that they have no understanding of how business and business economics
You don't
work.
Have no understanding of how business
oh
works. Don't say
because,
you don't have no understanding.
Let me finish. if you raise the cost of labor, you have to recoup the cost for that labor someplace else. You're going to raise the cost of labor 30%.
You
That's
know
what's
what?
Gonna happen to
I
prices.
Laughed at you guys.
The price is going to go up
30%.
I laughed at you guys so bad. If you thought with $3, then you got a raise. You still would not be in that $3 raise that you thought it would. That's all it is.
Gas and electric, taxes, everything been going up since after 9/11. Wages have not increased. How dare you businessmen?
I'm not talking about no daggone taxes. I'm not talking about taxes. I'm talking about cost of labor. You have to pay for your labor.
I know about cost of labor, sir.
Forget
it.
Sir, most of your budget is your salaries. Most of the proportion, if you look at the pie, I agree with you, salary is that, but you cannot believe that if you have a project like that, that minimum wage cannot come up. I don't care what you say, you cannot look at the minimum wage on the board and
saying.
Say that it's
not
come
up. I'm not talking,
milk has been increasing, and the standard of living wage has not increased, sir. Over almost 8 years,
the minimum wage is not a standard of living.
You cannot deny that.
Very few people pay their rent for minimum wage money?
Job.
Oh, where's my goodness. Where is the extra
so
money?
So you pay someone to pay somebody $3 an hour, sir.
Let me ask you a question.
Let people talk? You sound like party line or something.
We play double dutch. You get in where you fit in. You jump in.
That's right.
Let me tell you the benefits black people. Let me tell you the benefits black people have had under Republican administration since Nixon.
Nothing. I haven't
blacks,
seen it. And
blacks
I'm
have experienced blacks experience unemployment under 10%. Unemployment rate under 10% for more months under Republicans than they have under Democratic administration since Nixon, which was 1972 through Obama.
What does it mean?
Well, you're talking about increasing. You're talking about increasing the minimum wage. People are talking about increase. You can increase the minimum wage, but you ain't got no job. Well, what? But under Republican administration, you go check it yourself.
Don't increase minimum wage because if you increase minimum wage, it causes everything to go up. Well, we're trying to tell you everything has already been going up and wages have been stagnant.
But no, prices go up as long as they got jobs.
Blacks experience unemployment under 10% for a longer period of time since 1972 under Republican administration than they have under Democrats.
Diva, what I'm saying is this, okay? When you
and what I am saying is you said we put over hours and then she's
just hearing what
South
Carolina has to say.
Damn, this woman just wants to shut up.
Okay,
go
you
ahead,
don't say
South
it.
Carolina.
What I'm trying to tell you. The CEOs get raised, and they're making more money than the people down at the bottom.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Why don't they give us some of that money that they got? In order for people to survive. What? You say you start at $10 and the next month, next year you got 12. You ain't got a $2 raise, but then if things are going up, you still are moving along better than what you are now at 7.79. 7.79, everything ain't going up except your pay. You still spending them a stack. If you don't have a job,
you're still not hearing what I'm saying. Go ahead, South Carolina. Okay? When you have a company like a McDonald's that have a bunch of folks at minimum wage, that dollar menu is what that dollar menu and the rest of the stuff is what's paying those salaries. If you artificially increase those salaries an additional $3 per hour, they are not going to be able to maintain maintain those lower prices because they're going to have to pay for those salaries from somewhere.
Okay,
they're going to
increase
their prices.
Okay, South Carolina, we get
that.
We hear what you're
saying.
What you're not getting, South Carolina, is that these prices have been going up.
Let me finish. You're not answering my question.
I asked you a question.
I'm trying to hear what he's got to say.
You're giving me the same old.
You're talking about prices and everything raising over time. Yeah, that happens due to inflation. But here's the problem.
Wait a minute. Mike, would you be quiet? The man is talking.
If I
wake up out of a dream,
I guarantee you I'm making about $50 to $55 or $60 an hour as a business owner.
Let me give you another
$20 an hour.
South Carolina, you don't tell them about McDonald raises his own beef too. It raises his own beef and it raises its own crops. So if you give people, at a minimum wage more money, then these other folks are going to, you're going to have to raise their prices also.
Well, Costco is doing,
Costco is a wholesaler. They are not a retailer.
Walmart is not doing
Minimum wage has remained flat. So what is the, why is that? Why is prices increasing and minimum wage has remained flat?
Thank you.
So explain that to me.
Inflation.
Inflation.
I just said it.
That's all you
got to
say.
Inflation, because it's
so
true.
When inflation rises, why is inflation increasing then?
Because if look, if you bought 1,000 units of anything and you put your profit in there, when you sell that 1,000 units, you should have enough money to buy another 1,000 units. But if inflation increases, the money that you made after you sold your 1,000 units, you only have enough money to buy 750. Well, what
so
you, do you have to do?
Bianchi,
if you pay the man $20 an hour, Bianchi, how much are you making as an hour? If you pay a guy $20 an hour to do a job as a business, how much are you making as a business at $20 an hour?
Oh,
if you're paying a guy $20 an hour, how much is the business making per hour, Bianchi? Now, answer that question, businessman. Now, answer that question.
My iron workers in New York make $96. My iron workers, if I had iron workers in New York, they make $96 an hour.
Okay, now how much the company working per hour if you're going to pay $96 an hour? Walmart,
a contractor makes his money off of profit. Come on now, let's go.
I know, dude. And exactly, see, he don't want
to
answer that question. Now, I'm done. Y'all
can
finish.
Here's the problem.
Here's
the problem. Why are you worried
about
how much
I'm still trying to understand you guys' argument.
You all are so concerned. With what
minimum wage is wages.
Minimum wage is not the average wage in the United States.
It
the average full-time worker in the United States
it like it's the
is
major
$16.42 an hour. That's the average full-time worker in the United States.
Okay, that's fine.
Minimum wage is not the average.
It's at the
bottom of the pay scale.
Wage cannot be increased.
People
because
are paying a $750 a month rent with a minimum wage job. They're living somewhere else.
We're asking you guys, why is it that prices are rising now and minimum
wage
is
rising?
Because of energy costs,
because of the wars, because of foreign influence, because of the cost of money.
Really? Is that it?
My goodness, do you know how anything works?
Remember, I owned a business, got all these theories about how to run a business.
Prices increase.
Another reason why
prices
increase.
People like you waste people's time. Explain it to us.
Another reason why prices increase is because general liability insurance that a company has to call is going up because of Obamacare.
Diva. It isn't just you pay your people more money. Your insurance company comes in and looks at your costs and says, you raise your price. We want more money from you. Your insurances are a percentage of your gross. Your account charges you a percentage of your gross. The cost to a business
is all I want to know is, for whatever reason, prices are rising. So are you
because
guys saying prices are rising and you cannot deny that. Prices are increasing. Minimum wage has remained flat. So are you saying that those
but the
people
minimum
should be
wage isn't what most people are. Most people get up off the floor
are
and
you
walk out the
that
door.
Those people who make minimum wage should just stay where they are and struggle and suffer.
No, they should go get educated, learn something so somebody would pay them more than minimum wage.
No education. And people educated don't even start at no $10. So
anybody who continues to work for minimum wage is proof that they're not improving
themselves.
It
doesn't matter.
Or go get a job where they have no self-esteem.
You started
at
minimum wage for
you know what? Hey, man, let me tell y'all something else. You don't believe this. Let me tell you my workers' comp. My workers' comp insurance.
We cannot raise minimum wage.
Diva, if you be quiet, I tell you. Now go ahead and sing, Diva. Go ahead and sing and let us know when you get done singing.
Your argument is flawed.
Yeah, let us sing. Let us sing.
You don't even have an answer in it.
Just let her keep singing. Sing, Diva. Sing.
What I said, right,
well,
got
I don't care. You can do whatever you want, Bianchi, because you guys keep saying it's
no,
over
just keep
over
singing.
Again.
That's all
just
I ask you. Keep
ask
singing and let us know.
Can't even answer a simple damn question. You keep going on with your little skill about prices going up. You can't raise minimum wages. Then you say, well, minimum wages are not the main wage in this country. It doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is we're talking about minimum wage. We're talking about increasing minimum wage. You guys' argument is prices will go up. Costs will
minimum
go up.
Minimum wage will hurt poor people.
It's already
all right, now, let's know when you're done talking.
Well,
will you shut up and let people know? Let us know when you're done talking. Stop cutting off people. It ain't no same old dribble. I'm going to lay off all my goddamn minimum wage employees when I get off this phone.
You can't do it, man. You said you didn't decide, so you can't lay nobody off.
You guys can't answer it.
We can't answer it. You're not listening.
Because
you don't
want to
hear it.
Because
you want to pretend you know it all over. You've never run a business, Diva. You've never run a business. You don't know
the
100 people gives you 100 that you can deduct from your income tax as a business. You know
what? I have a non-profit organization that I have to run. So
non-profit. That doesn't mean you don't make
107 deductions as a business. Did you know that?
You're making an ass of yourself.
Diva, did you hear
me?
The government gives you 107 deductions as a business. Are you aware of that?
Does not know.
Are you aware of that? The government gives you 107 things you can write off your income tax. Are
you
aware of that? It's a business.
You know what? I hate to go here. Diva, I hate to go here with you.
That's 107 things you have to pay every month. That's why they let you wipe some of it off.
I hate to go here with you, Diva, but that's why some black businesses, that's why 87% of black businesses gross less than $50,000 a year.
Diva, open a business and use your own theories to experiment your own way to poverty.
Matter of fact,
Diva,
the majority of black businesses don't pay no wages at all.
Already. You guys can't even give us the answer to that.
Hey, Mike, let me ask you a question like I asked you.
Over and over again.
I'm going to ask you a question.
I still have a question to ask.
Mike, if you're paying a guy $20 an hour, Mike, how much is the business you're making per hour, Mike?
Let me tell you how that works. Let me tell you, if I'm paying a guy $20 an hour,
right?
Well, if you shut up, I'll tell you.
Shut up, man. Don't take all day.
If I'm paying a worker $20 an hour in Illinois, you know what I have to pay an hour for his workers' comp insurance? I have to pay an extra. I have to pay an extra $30 an hour for just his workers' comp insurance.
How much are you getting paid? How much are you getting paid?
Profits go like this: it's 5 and 10. 5% overhead, 10% profit.
To answer you,
how much
of
the
write-off?
What is your salary? Hold on. Profit is $5 and $10. But hold up now. How much are you making per hour as a business owner compared to your employee? Because I know you already had your read-up, your inventory. So look, mine is your inventory.
I know what
mine
it costs. Listen,
money.
Let me tell you.
Okay,
listen, my engineers may work $110,000 a year. I have to figure out how many hours, man hours, I have to do in order to pay his salary. Simple as that.
How much you get?
If I need 50,000 man hours, I need 100,000 man hours of work.
You get?
I have to go out and secure that work.
If you're paying somebody $20 an hour, they better produce 60 minutes worth of the company, otherwise you can't afford to give them a job, and you ain't making profit at that.
He just wanted to
pay
him.
Did you hear that?
number. A simple number.
Go to FBA.gov and look up the range for your registry that the government suggests to mark the prices.
He asked all the extra. He asked simply one question, and you wanted one number. If you're paying your employees $20 an hour, how much
Diva,
do you as a citizen are
you
making? Then we can get into the fact of how much of your wage has to go into paying for everything else. But we just want a number.
Not easy
a
that is.
I gave you the number, Diva.
You didn't give me a number.
Whatever you're paying your employee, you have to earn three times that per hour. If you're paying them 20, you have to make at least 60 or you're losing money. Beyond that is your profit.
How much are you making? So, okay.
$50 an hour.
Go to SBA.gov. Your president's website. Read the ranges for every business.
Go to
SBA.gov,
Diva.
To cover your nut.
Talk.
Okay, so hold on. So you're saying you're making $60 an hour, so okay.
Because the person you pay has to have tools, a workspace, or a vehicle, or a computer, a building to run it on, raw materials, insurance, wages, accounting, human resources, a paycheck payroll company that writes the check. Keep track of the hours. There is so much overhead involved in supplying a job. Somebody walks in the door, gives you $10, and you can answer with nine. That's not how it works.
How much do you get off for all of that?
Yo. You don't have a conversation.
Yeah, we're going
to
let Diva and the other lady cut everybody off. We're trying to have a conversation, but she keeps running her mouth.
Diva, open this business
and you will know everything. You know what I
want.
You open a business and hire people and pay them $10 an hour who know nothing. And that's how far you get. You're being a
worker.
Mike, you didn't know shit about the wrong thing.
You put yourself in the porch. You don't have any theories based upon what you do. Go do it for real and you will know, Diva. You will then move and come back here and tell us how hard it is to be in business.
You get done with this show, you have no skin in the game.
So keep running your mouth,
After you get done with this show, Diva, you still going to be poor.
It's like turkeys going to the slaughter.
You're not making yourself look any better, Mike, when you do what you're doing. I don't care. I've had it with you.
You're a self-righteous, ignorant, you know nothing.
In your brain, you wouldn't be like
Pianchi,
this.
Really, Pianchi?
Don't nobody want to be in your place. We need a translator for her. There's a job somebody can have.
Answer the question. And my next question is, anybody that's starting on their first job should get $10 an hour. And that don't mean they got to stay there for years and years and years. Start out for 1 year and then
what are you saying? We can't understand you.
You don't have to be educated to do that. Anybody with common sense who got a business, how do you think Paul Walton started out his business? Through government funding. All of the people that got business started out with government grants.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Honey, you should have bought the $10 more cell phone.
You wouldn't get a minimum wage job talking like that.
I don't understand her. I couldn't let her talk to my clients.
You wouldn't get no minimum wage job talking like that. Hell, nobody's coming to your business. They don't understand what the hell you're talking about.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Has lobbied a personal attack.
They don't know if you're saying Allah Akbar or what. Did she say Allah Akbar? That means she getting ready to blow up. Let's get out of here.
I heard her say your name, Piyaki. That's all I understood.
So that was me.
Did she say Allah Akbar? Uh-oh, we better get out of here. She's getting ready to blow up.
Oh, man. Oh, you mean she's getting ready to hang up rather than stay and reinforce her point?
Oh, no, that's not hanging up. You're going to hang up and run. You just had a little breakdown. You just had a meltdown, right?
You're not understandable.
She said you had a meltdown.
Listen to it. She just had a I got melted down by the heat of the facts, baby.
Wait,
you
did you
smell
that
on
my
You know what?
Tommy,
but I'm going to tell you something. That's a sad thing. That's why black Americans got 2 million businesses and they hire less than 900,000 employees.
I'm too afraid for black men if this is what you end up marrying.
And then I have no more man.
No wonder why there's so many single black women.
That's why black guys are marrying white women.
You're
an example of why some black men are marrying white women.
They love our feistiness. So y'all can, they can keep on.
You are an example of why black men are marrying white women.
There you go.
And you wonder why black women are now starting to date by their race.
I got a tweet here from a black guy said he's going to have his hair washed because he's tired of listening.
She's an example because there's more of them and there's going to be more of them than anybody. That's why they're marrying them. That's why they're marrying them.
Okay, I got a job I'm hiring right now, $10 an hour. They were translating for me. What the hell is she saying?
Kids, just like I told you.
How do you want to go to the UN? Somewhere I got a translator.
Your people ain't going to be enough for you.
That's why coming the last U.S. Census survey of businesses, blacks had nearly 2 million businesses and hired less than 900,000 employees. What kind of business is that?
It's a business that they're working for themselves and they're not working for people that want them to work for them.
Wow.
They're working for themselves. That's the kind of business it is. When you got
87% of black businesses, 87% of black businesses gross less than $50,000 a year. What in the hell are y'all using?
You can't do the work. They're doing the work, so they're doing it for themselves. That's what kind of business it is.
Well, hold on. I want to know something here. Because everybody's always upset.
A lot of people talk about
because
of
the Constitution that says black folks are equal to three-fifths. According to black businesses, you're only worth nine-tenths. You came up a little, but you're still not a whole person.
They're taking care of themselves. They ain't doing nobody else's work. They're working for themselves. That's why. And then this is sitting over in the corner having the mental breakdown. And if a whole lot of people do that, he won't have to have nobody work for him. He'll be doing his own work.
Hey, there's money in
Oh, Brian Mike, you did have a meltdown.
That's qualified.
I didn't have a meltdown. If you took my
blood
pressure, that's a game of it. That is
a
game of it. Kiva, if you sat here and took my, you know what my blood pressure is, honey? I'm 110 over
60.
And
you're going to have another one, and that's going to be a breakdown.
Bullshit, lady. I should play that game. I learned a long time ago how to modulate my voice and go insane. They're all in theatrics, honey.
I was getting worried.
Oh, Dina, it's all theatrics. I'm telling you, you took my blood pressure. My blood pressure is just perfectly normal sitting here. Because I can play this game. I'll go crazy on you. And then pick up the phone.
That was
bigger
than you take Dan Doozy while we have a conversation with somebody.
I learned that from the black
don't nobody want to be in your body. I don't want to be a new guy.
You can learn how to
modulate,
project your voice, and you can do anything you want. You can make anything you want.
And like I said,
you
can direct nobody to a crazy Tea Party. You can't direct nobody to the crazy Democratic Party, nor the Republican Party.
Diva.
And then, like I said, you do your
businesses
interest.
Have corporations that are allowed 107 deductions under the law. That means the law recognizes 107 categories where businesses have expenses.
And then you have tax.
So now it isn't just paying someone the minimum wage. And 50 of those expenses go up when you raise your paycheck.
You really actually think that I don't think businesses have expenses?
No, I said under the law, Diva. Businesses
and
have,
I have my own nonprofit organization that I manage.
Corporations
so,
have 107 write-offs because they have 107 areas where they have expenses. You keep looking at raising the minimum wage in
I
the vacuum.
No.
SBA.gov, go look up what your own government is telling you about running a small business.
I asked you the question.
I don't know. You're talking about 107 deductions. Businesses have expenses. Yeah, we all know that.
No, they're linked. If the government recognizes 107 deductions, because you have 107
deductions. If minimum wage go up, then that means that the government is going to get less taxes.
I'm asking you a question, Bianca.
How
much
does the minimum wage go up?
How much
to get less taxes? Wage earners? Probably move up into a different tax bracket.
Diva, if you raise minimum wage on businesses, then the government would get less in taxes.
From
the
businesses,
move into a tax bracket,
I don't know how, because some people are going
to
get a $2 increase.
Listen, if you raise minimum wage, if you raise minimum wage. The government will get less in taxes because the higher minimum wage means a higher business expense, which is deductible.
They get a $3 increase. You think they're going to put that $3 in savings, or you think they're going to spend that $3? I guarantee they're going to spend
it's
the extra
$3. It's not about their $3. It's about the other person who didn't get a raise and lost their job, Diva.
When they spend
the
extra $3,
it's about
the
person who lost their job.
If the government take in less revenue, if the government take in less revenue, then they have less money to give out in subsidies to farmers. If they have less money to give out in subsidies to farmers, then farmers are going to start passing that cost onto the food chain. It's going to cost
you
more money.
Let me tell you how it works.
You don't want to listen.
I want to say something, guys. How many hours do people work? People work $3,000 hours a year, right? Over $2,000 hours a year.
Increase the expenditure. Increase the expenditure.
If you take dollars from them, you have more to give to the people. Don't tell me about no farm subsidies. All that money that they get.
Normal people.
You got congressmen sitting up there getting $30 and $40 million.
I'm sorry.
You talking about a little man sitting down at the farm getting a
I don't care which job you work at. A person who works 30 hours or more a week deserves to be paid and compensated for their work.
Why don't you get a better job? Go to school. Get an education.
Million high-paying jobs
right
now in the United States that they don't have people qualified to take.
We get human resources and psychology. Get the right education.
You know, it's about paying for that. And it costs you to go to a higher-paying
Well, listen, everybody have a – listen.
Corporations contribute to your scholarship, young lady, but you want to raise our prices.
Excuse me.
You know how competitive scholarships are? Very competitive.
Governments
subsidize a college education like they did prior to
increase your skills.
They're still right.
Study hard to get a higher ACT. How much time
do
you spend?
You can't afford to go, Bianchi.
How much time did you spend improving your ACT score?
You can't afford to go to college.
That's a lie. You can't afford it. They have all kind of breaks.
I don't have no problem going to college.
Underprivileged.
My son don't have no problem, man. I'm letting you
all kind of
person. Hold up. Let me ask
you
a question.
Increase your SAT
and ACT. As a parent that has a son going to college next year, I'm letting you know it's not if you got a pretty good day, it's not hard to go to college.
Can I say something?
It's very difficult to go to college.
You have some kids in high school that
right?
Yeah, some kids in high school, when they finish high school, they finish two years of college.
What type of ACT score? ACT score for blacks in America is about an 18. My grandson came out of elementary school scoring a 28. Now, what is it that I do that y'all ain't do that you can't do?
Well, here we take the SATs, and if you get a 1600, that's the bad minimum for a good scholarship. The 1600
is an SAT score, not an ACT score. Learn what you're
talking
about.
Listen, over here we get SAT the same thing. It's in college, so both of them the same thing.
What are you doing to increase your college exams for entry? Then you won't have to work a minimum wage job.
My kids and wife never worked.
So what you should do is get a good job. You're making a bad assumption because you're assuming only high school work at minimum wage job. What kind of points you trying to make, Mike? Everything else you've been throwing out there, go ahead.
The qualifications are not necessary.
I ain't talking to you, Maze. I said Mike. I didn't say allow.
Nick is trying to make a point, and we keep over-talking him. He's getting frustrated. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not getting frustrated.
You, Pianki.
I ain't looking for no minimum wage job.
I'm not talking about you, Pianki. Go ahead, Mike. What you talking about?
Either. You better hurry up. You're going to get cut off here in a minute.
I guess he left.
Then you want to blame
that
on Republicans.
There's two mics on the line, so I'm assuming
all
you're
facts.
Talking
about
Maryland.
Facts.
We're not talking about you.
Well, good, because I ain't going to think about you after I hang up either. So there, we're even. Yeah.
Good money. You just get yourself back together. I'm laying off all my wage. You just go draw out. So what is a person that's supposed to do is starting a job tomorrow and you never work? You go in the door, you're supposed to get something.
You should get the right type of degree. My goodness.
There is a reason why a lot of people end up in certain situations where they have to work minimum wage.
Petroleum engineers start off at $180,000 a year coming right out of college. Get a good job.
Let me explain something to you. My daughter was 16 years old and she was making $16 an hour. She had never stuck. She was still in 11th grade. When my daughter was 16,
she didn't work. So what?
Well, mine did. So that's
mine
what I'm trying to say. She started at $16 an hour.
Mine stayed home and studied.
That's what I'm trying to say. She's a nurse now. She finished college.
I was making three when I was 16.
She's a nurse. She probably made more money when she was 16 than she is a nurse. Go ahead.
I was 18. I was making whatever minimum wage was at that time in 1998. That's what I was making. And I was trying to pay my way through college because the government does not subsidize college like they used to. Some people, for some reason, can make it work. Others can't. I don't know why. But it's not.
Listen, go to school, do your homework, do your extra activities so you can make your resume. You can make your resume more attractive. Study very hard for your college entrance exams, and you should have no problem.
What I say, work for yourself and earn your own money, and you don't have to worry about working for nobody else. The best thing you can do.
Kids who are in poor education systems, and we get into a different discussion about that, but that's not their fault that they're in the
education system that they're in. They have no power, no control over any of that because they're kids, so they have people making decisions for them. So to say, just simply say, all you have to do is study hard.
After school. After school, you
well,
study hard.
You
see,
you can't control.
When do you become aware of what the problem is? It's
not
up to you to fix it. You can't blame everybody.
You don't know I'm down with your mental right now.
He's blaming everybody. But he's making a statement where all you have to do is study hard, blah, 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 and you'll make it. That's not true.
That's like you can
all you got to do is study hard and you'll make it. I worked with a young girl starting at 16.
Because they have not been taught what is
I worked with a young lady. I worked with a young black teenager when she was 16, helping her to buy clothes, her books, so she would stay in school. She didn't do that. She had two babies. And guess what she called me the other day and said, Pianki, I'm taking my GED. Well, I said,
and
you should have done that back when you were 16.
Yeah.
People with GED got PhDs now. My mom fought with a GED, and they're going to get a PhD.
A GED will get
so
you
what does
a college.
GED got to do with anything?
Now
you
she's 24 years old. Now she's 24 years old trying
isn't
to go back and do what she should have done 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But
some people
she couldn't work, couldn't make it on minimum wage.
You start at minimum wage, you don't mean you got to stay there. You got to start somewhere.
I don't know anybody.
Like
know
yeah, keep your butt
to
school and work hard.
I don't know nobody that walks in the door.
I'm sorry.
I really don't know.
They create an atmosphere that they want to keep people there. They want to keep those people there. So they do whatever they can. I'm sorry. They perpetuate this cult. They're like vultures. They suck you in. They get you there with all these promises of moving up. Oh, it can't happen right now. You know we're having a downturn. But
you know another side effect.
Are you
talking
about your boyfriend?
Side effect of raising minimum wage to black
African-Americans. Let me tell
the
you
the
people that are qualified.
Project 21, which is Black Rand, said that the higher you when you raise minimum wage higher, you have more black children dropping out of school.
Really? More black children dropping out of school.
So just raise it up to $40 an hour, then we won't have to pay for those schools at all.
Now, it's
gonna
be
I keep that money in my pocket.
It's going to be raised to 10 and the people are going to be happy. But what I'm asking you, Pianka, if you got a degree, when you first step out of that university, you're going to start at the bottom before you can get to the top to make any money in the first place. So the people that make a minimum wage going to go there and then they get a degree and then they're going to make more money. They're not going to stay there.
Some degrees start you off. Some application when you get out. I would rather come out of go into an avocation starting off at $80,000, $130,000, $140,000, than starting off at $15,000, $20,000, and $25,000 a year. Which one? Huh? Which one would you rather do?
I would rather start at the 100, but I can't start at 100 because I'm not qualified to do the 100 because you got people that have been there before me and they making that kind of money.
Oh, crap. That's a bunch of crap. You got businesses on the news all day long talking about how they can't find people to fill their jobs.
Pianki, I got a black lady. I got a black lady right up the road. She just
you ain't got no
college.
Ass, no way.
Hey, man, quiet a minute.
Don't
talk about one of your sisters, Pianki.
Baby,
she graduated college. She's 22
like
years old. She graduated college. I was talking to her last week. Black gal right up the road, 6 miles from where I'm sitting right now. They started her right out of college at $94,000 a year. You know what she did? She learned how to be a pharmacist. They didn't
care
how old she was. She started at the bottom at $94,000 because the law is they can't open one of them new Walgreens unless they have a licensed pharmacist.
You what, you
so they open
and you know what, Pat? You know what?
Pharmacies
most of
year,
the black pharmacists I know,
pharmacists.
Most of the black pharmacists I know are African immigrants. Why come blacks are
not
preparing their children for that field?
She's not an African immigrant. Well, I know she's
I've not seen a black pharmacist. You're missing the point. I'm not missing the point. Why can't people who live here do it with a black skin?
I've not seen a black pharmacist.
Well, you got to come to South Carolina, honey.
You never seen one.
I'm pretty sure
you're
going to have a lot of black people in a lot of high-capacity jobs because of where that state in because of that state.
Yeah, because we're the fourth
poorest
county in the
United
States.
Well, you can travel. Look at the people
that
travel to North
Dakota.
Look at all the people that's traveling to North Dakota because of the jobs that's opened up around domestic oil production.
Yes, they are, Diva. McDonald's in North Dakota starts at 16 an hour.
I didn't say they weren't.
They can't get help
because
it's booming.
North Minnesota. And personally, me personally, I worked at fast food from summer 16.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I've seen that on TV.
And I'm
McDonald's
not doing it
restaurant
again.
Is starting off at $16 an hour. If you don't want to work your $7 an hour McDonald's job in high water hell, then go to North Dakota. I tell you what, if I come from a $7.25 an hour job to a $16 hour job, you can mistreat me all you want.
Right. See, I don't understand. You know what? I think a lot of people shouldn't
drive somewhere else.
You South Dakota then. And then see how competitive and see
instead,
what happens when
you
job
instead
now,
of making
you
instead
you
of
have,
making a trip.
You have 200 people competing for 10 jobs. Until, when
listen,
you have 200 people competing for 10 jobs, it's not going to be
let's,
D-box,
let's,
that's not the
let's
problem.
Change.
It's the opposite. There's 100
let's
jobs and only
definition.
10 people competing.
If you had everyone making a mass
exodus. So you know nothing about basic
if you
marketing.
Had everyone making a mass
you don't
exodus.
Know, not
done
North Carolina. It's going to
cause
listen,
a problem.
Rather than walking to your mailbox, rather than walking to your mailbox looking for opportunities, get in your car and drive to North Carolina.
Now they can't find anybody, so they're going to have to raise their rates.
Did you hear that, Diva? Rather than walking to your mailbox looking for opportunities, get in your car and drive to North Carolina. I'm sorry,
North
Dakota.
Because you got too many
I hope they're speaking in general terms because they're not talking.
You'll be qualified when you get that, Diva, and they won't hire you.
In the Raleigh Triangle, she submitted a resume.
That's what it is.
Oh.
I'm not people don't get hired.
I'm not up here saying, oh, I can't
Diva,
find a job.
You
send
your
blah,
resume
blah.
With a picture that you put up on your Facebook. You'll have a job in a minute
why
in
you
North
need,
Carolina.
Why you need a picture? Why you need a picture? Oh, you just have to put your
resume
out there and go to the job.
I'm having fun with Diva.
Have a picture when you apply for scholarships.
One, I am a certified phlebotomist, so I can either find a job wherever I go or I can start my own
business. That's right, wherever you go.
Exactly.
And what I'm
so
saying
to
depends on where you're going to depend on the amount of money they pay.
Secondly, I have my own nonprofit organization that I'm managing right now. So
go
I'm
back
good.
To school.
Are you
go back
money
to school
with?
And get a minor in business.
Lead
them
no,
certified. Lead them
no,
those correspondence courses that give you certification,
college,
a certificate.
I'm going to college. I'm not going back to college because I'm not going back into debt. I've just paid off the little bit of student loans that I had from the first 3.5 years.
Well, you
got to
save your money.
And I'm not going back.
And apply for scholarships. They got scholarships for people
to
go back
to
school.
I have to pay money and be in debt again. It's going to be for something I'm passionate about, and it's going to be law. I'm not going back
well,
to
go
school.
Do a minor in law then. And then
no,
you
I'm
learn
not
how to
minor
in
law.
Politics
what
kind
of, you go to a business law? What kind of law you want?
Do what I really want to do, which is practice law.
Everybody should go to law school. Most people don't know what kind of, you going business law or what kind of law you going for. Because business law is
I already know what type of law
I
would
think she go to. I think she go to school
law.
To be a talker.
I have
I have to learn how to argue cases. You guys are just,
the judge will kick your ass out of courtroom in 5 minutes
right,
in New York. Girl, you
right. Now, if you find yourself in front of the Supreme Court, Diva, you got to keep it short. Those are old people. They'll be dead before you make your case.
Yeah.
The guy was telling you that finished my same time out. He was a lawyer. He was 24 when he got his law degree. He went and did the weed thing
May,
over.
Hold on.
He's doing
hold
great.
Hold on. I haven't heard understand a word you said.
I said that like I told
say
you.
Say it again.
You heard me.
I didn't understand a word
you're
said. What do you?
So
he got his law degree at 24, passed the bar and everything. So he went to England. He did the wig thing and all of that, and he's doing great in his business. So he has two businesses. He worked for himself and he worked for somebody else.
That's good.
And he's making the money.
And he ain't working
he
on for no minimum wage, is he?
He didn't. No,
well,
he didn't start at the bottom.
Another point too.
When,
I don't understand
no
why come black folks so
high
up on minimum
the
wage.
The law for the government. Because that's what I would be, a prosecutor. I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't do it.
And you know what kind of law he is,
a prosecutor?
He's international law. That's what he wanted to do, and that's what he's doing.
That's good. We need to have more get into that area.
And I know three more that's probably behind him.
You ain't going to make no money as a prosecutor.
And I know three more that's coming behind him, and they're going to be directed in that same way. But until they get there,
taking my grandson to the National Society of Black Engineers Conference next month in March in Nashville, and I'm taking him and 2 8th graders. They're not my children. I'm taking the 8th graders so I can expose them to that particular field. Do good in the STEM studies.
And you got art engineers, too.
But everybody
has
love to create community. Because in the school I had, we didn't have any mentors. We didn't have anyone.
Go find one.
All the stuff and showing
if you know what you're lacking, go find it. When you're hungry, do you know how to go find a sandwich?
How are you going to be 17?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.